Come on, slow starter.
Let's go, baby. Let's go.
Uh-oh, we gonna get in shape here.
Blue engine, boom.
There you go.
Cadillac, halfback check.
Eagle. Gotta run through that. We gotta have that one right now.
Come on, it's the ball, baby. Let's go.
There you go. Make a play.
Nice job, baby.
Blue 58.
Get up here.
Oh, no. That's why I put him up there. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And you're looking at the beautiful South Campus at Lehigh University. I'm Dave Spadaro. It's Training Camp Live here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. A very, very, very busy Thursday. We've got a show loaded for you for most of this afternoon. So sit back and relax and enjoy. We've got great coverage of some outstanding practices the Eagles had today. They really, really picked up the tempo today, the defense and the offense. Both, I saw a lot of good moments, a lot of things that you're going to want to see as we take a look at Todd Harriman's and one-on-one drills. We visit with some defensive linemen, Cullen Jenkins and Daryl Tapp will visit the studio here. We will get you into the Jeffrey Lurie press conference. The chairman CEO of this football team held his State of the Team address, and we'll get to that shortly. We want to first get to the news of the day, and that is Mike Patterson, Eagles defensive tackle, who yesterday suffered a seizure and then had convulsions, was taken off the field via ambulance, taken to Lehigh Valley Hospital, has had great care from the moment that he went down in practice yesterday. Eagles head athletic trainer Rick Burkholder updates the situation, refuses to speculate, but talks about where Patterson is right now and the immediate prognosis for what has turned into a very serious situation.
All right, as I promised you yesterday, we would give you an update, and as I told you yesterday, Mike Patterson had a seizure on the field. My medical team took care of him on the field, and then he was transported to Lehigh Valley Hospital yesterday, spent the night there last night. He's still there this morning. During that time at the hospital, they went through a series of evaluations and testing. And they eliminated a lot of things that did not cause the seizure, including dehydration, a head injury, any kind of neck trauma. What they did determine through some of the testing is that Mike has a congenital tangle of blood vessels right outside his brain that is called arteriovenous malformation, or what we refer to as AVM. We're pretty sure that that's what caused the seizure. We're pretty sure it wasn't football related. And so now the next course of evaluation and treatment for Mike is that they'll continue to do testing, possibly some at Lehigh Valley, possibly some in Philadelphia. This whole process is being headed by our team physician, Dr. Gary Dorsheimer, who's our internal medicine doc and has been in constant contact with the Lehigh Valley people all afternoon yesterday and was up there last night, consulted with Mike and his wife, and he'll head up the process of finding the best treatment, finding the best testing to figure out what we need to do for treatment, and then finding the best neurology people to take care of the issue. I told you yesterday I wouldn't speculate on what happened to Mike yesterday other than he had a seizure, because there's so many things that could go on. And as we see now, and we think that it's this AVM, we would have been foolish to speculate yesterday that it was either dehydration or head trauma without knowing. And so I'm not going to stand up here and speculate for you guys what the treatment plan is going to be, because we don't know, because there's still testing that has to go on. I'm not going to speculate on what our medical team and Mike Patterson and his family are going to decide on who's going to treat his condition. And I'm certainly not going to speculate on whether Mike will return to football now, this season, next season. It's foolish to speculate that, and I don't want to sensationalize things. What I do want to tell you guys is that he had a seizure. He got great care on the field. He got great care at Lehigh Valley Hospital, and he's still undergoing some testing for the condition, and we'll get a treatment plan together.
Have there been any other cases in the NFL that you know of this?
I don't know that. So the answer to your question is no directly. But this story is just breaking. And my colleagues, the 32 head athletic trainers in the National Football League and the medical staffs that cover those teams are very close-knit. And so I'm sure as this story breaks, I'll get numerous emails or, you know, saying either, you know, good luck with it or we've had a case of it or whatever. But I mean, we spent last night with Mike and with Coach Reed and with Howie and everybody involved, Mr. and Mrs. Lurie. So everyone was concerned. I really didn't have time to branch out to the rest of the National Football League to find out whether anybody's ever had it or ever played with it.
Is treatment either radiation or...
I told you I wasn't going to speculate on treatment.
Is there a grading system involved here? Is 5 being the most severe?
I haven't been given any kind of grading system on it. We just know that he has a tangle of blood vessels there, and we're going to address the problem. Our medical team's going to work with another medical team to address the problem.
Is it unusual for somebody to show symptoms like, you know, in his 30 or in his late 20s like Mike is?
No, My physicians and the research that I've done on it says that he's a little outside the age group to first show symptoms, and it just so happened to be at football practice. It could have happened at home. It could have happened up in the dorms. It could have happened anywhere. And he's Derek. I think he's 29 years old, 28 years old, and it just happened then. So it is a little unusual. I think that the numbers say that it happens a little earlier than this. But it didn't in his case. And there's certain people that have this situation and they don't ever have symptoms. And nothing's ever done about it.
Rick, so you didn't want to speculate on.
How sure are you that this is what it is? You said you're pretty sure. Is there a definitive test? Like, can it only be this because of what you're seeing?
Yeah, the medical team at Lehigh Valley and then Dr. Dorsheimer and our team, we're going to do further testing to absolutely make sure that that's the situation. If it's not what caused the seizure, we still need to take care of that situation for Mike so that he doesn't have any problems down the road with it.
How long will he have to be hospitalized, right?
We don't know that because we don't know the course of treatment. So right now we anticipate that he's going to leave Lehigh Valley today, go back with his wife to his home in New Jersey, consult with Dr. Dorsheimer, and Dr. Dorsheimer's putting together some medical teams now to address the issue. We're certainly, this club in the past has always tried to find the best physicians possible to treat. It just so happens that there's some really, really good physicians in Philadelphia and some pioneers in Philadelphia that have done some of the procedures. So we're looking at that possibility. But anytime, I know not everybody always buys into this, but when we have somebody hurt or somebody ill like or has a condition like Mike, We try to consult with our group of physicians that make up our medical team, and then we make a decision with Mike's family. His agent will probably be involved, my doctors, and we'll sit down and come up with a plan. But it's not, it's not going to be rushed, and it's going to be thorough. So over the next couple of days, you guys will find out who's going to treat him, where he's going to be treated, and what they think the prognosis is.
Rick, did you talk to him specifically? Did you talk to him in the hospital? And what's his mood? I mean, how's he taking it?
I sent an athletic trainer with him yesterday in the ambulance, Chris Peduzzi, and then we were in constant contact with Mike yesterday. Dr. Dorsheimer and Dr. Ng went to the hospital last night and met with him and his family, and I've talked to him a couple times over the phone, and you guys know Mike pretty well. He's a man of very few words. He's always upbeat, and that's the way he is now. And he truthfully was more concerned about his guys being out here with not enough help, because he's down and then Trevor went down and Victor went down. He was more concerned about that, and that's just typical Mike. That's the way he is. So we assured him everything was all right here, and we assured him that everything was going to be all right there, and he's antsy to get out of Lehigh Valley Hospital and get to the next step. So that's what we're working on this morning.
You said it's not going to be a rushed process in deciding how to proceed. Does that mean for now everything's stable? Is there monitoring that needs to go on day to day?
That's a great question. I should have mentioned this. He is on some medication to prevent another seizure. So we think the situation's stable. They think it's stable over there. And Dr. Dorsheimer's certainly dealing with all the neurology people at Lehigh Valley Hospital to make sure that he's stable before he would leave. Um, I I can't thank the people at Lehigh Valley Hospital enough. You know, as an athletic trainer and a guy who coordinates the medicine for this team, when you go away to training camp and you're away from your group of medical professionals that you're comfortable with, to have a group like Lehigh Valley Hospital take care of our players is a really reassuring thing for me. And the people over there were absolutely fabulous yesterday. So my hat, and I know our management team of Andy and Howie and Joe and Mr. and Mrs. Lurie are grateful to Lehigh Valley Hospital for the way that they handled this situation.
If you could just clear one thing up on treatment. The initial report said that there were just two surgical options, but apparently not everybody has surgery, in essence, right?
I told you last time, I'm sorry, I just won't speculate on it. We're looking at all those options, and in medicine today, there's tons of options, and everybody wants to jump right into surgery because that's what's been, and I'm not saying for this particular case, I'm saying with everything, but there's so many other avenues out there. So it'd be foolish for me to even speculate what's going to happen to Mike. I mean, you're talking about, we handle football injuries all the time. This is a neurological problem, and like I said, there's some great doctors in Philadelphia, and they have great ones up here in the Lehigh Valley, and we're going to get them taken care of. And as soon as I know what their plans are and what his options are and what he decides and Dorsheimer decides, we'll gladly let you guys know.
Okay, thanks, Rick.
One other injury update is you saw Antonio Dixon go off today. He had a mild knee sprain, and he's being evaluated inside, and we'll continue to evaluate him today.
All right, so that is Eagles head athletic trainer Rick Burkholder updating us on the Mike Patterson situation. He is getting great care. No further speculation, no idea what is next for Mike, other than more tests, more monitoring the situation, and getting him the very, very best care. Now, the Eagles, yesterday they lost Victor Abiyemiri with a foot injury. Trevor Laws has an injury, a groin injury. Today, Antonio Dixon goes down with a mild knee sprain. We have Mike Patterson. Now, so this defensive tackle situation, really, really thin. Eagles signing a couple of non-drafted rookies, Charles Noonan and Brandon Collier. They were on the practice field today. Anthony Hargrove and Derek Landry, two veterans, they will be on the practice field tomorrow, along with Nnamdi Asamoah and Vince Young and all of these veterans the Eagles signed in free agency. So it is the CBA needs to be ratified today by the union at 4 o'clock. That is a league-wide vote among the players, and then practices tomorrow, obviously open to the public, and the entire Eagles roster, which is, who knows right now, 89, 88, 90 players tops, will be all on the practice field here at Lehigh, 8:05 tomorrow morning. So make sure you're here at Lehigh or tuned into PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We'll show you the first time for Nnamdi in an Eagles uniform. Let's take some phone calls, then we're going to go over and hear from Jeffrey Lurie. He had his State of the Team media address a short time ago. We'll get to that in just a moment. Let's go to Scott in New Jersey, 610-758-1921. Hey, Scott.
Hey, how you doing?
Hi, Scott. Can you turn your speakers down, please, Scott?
First, I just want to obviously wish Mike Patterson best in his recovery.
Yep. Okay. Well, thank you. He's going to turn the speakers down. Yeah, you got to turn the speakers down, Scott. Yeah, I think everybody feels the same way. Look, I mean, it's football's one thing, but Mike's situation obviously transcends anything that happens on the football field. And a great guy. Let's hope that the situation is corrected, that he's healthy, and if he's able to come back and play football and play at a high level, that's wonderful as well. He'll always be a part of the team. I don't know anything about Mike Patterson's. Does he come back and play football next week? Is it next month? Is it next year? I don't know any of that at all. So I'm not – if you come call up and ask me, I just don't know. I don't think Rick Burkholder knows. He said he wouldn't speculate. I'm certainly not going to speculate. Let's go to Miami and talk to Jeff. Hey, Jeff.
What's going on, Dave?
How's everything?
Listen, I got three quick things for you, okay?
Yep. Fire away.
First and foremost, I do not want to trade Asante Samuel.
Okay.
The guy's a stud. He's a leader on the field. He's a leader off the field. He owns Eli Manning, and I just don't want to get rid of him.
He was awesome in practice today. Awesome.
Yeah, the fans love him. He's got the swagger. I mean, he's a Pro Bowl player. He's a stud. I don't want to trade him.
Okay.
Second of all, listen, I'm having doubts about Macklin. I've had mono in the past, and that is nasty. It wipes you out for months and months and months. And it's really, really tough to get your strength back. And, you know, I don't care if it happened a little bit ago for him or whatever. I just think it's going to be really tough for him to get back to 100% in the near future, let alone halfway through the season.
Okay.
Has there been any other update about that?
No, Macklin did not practice today. DeSean Jackson's still not here. Danny Watkins working with the ones. I mean, you know, I think the Eagles are really on top of what's going on with Jeremy, but you're right. I mean, if he's lost weight, it's hard to get it back.
Yeah, well, if it is indeed mono that he's had, I mean, it's not just something you can get over in a week or two. I mean, it literally takes months.
Okay.
So maybe they'll probably take care of that. Last thought is, how's Greg Cooper doing, the running back?
Yeah, you know, not bad at all. He's getting some reps. I mean, I think it's going to be tough to make the team with what they have, and certainly the addition of Reggie, what's his name again? Ronnie Brown. Like, I'm losing everybody's names. Is going to make it very, very tough. Now, here's what's interesting. All right, Deion Lewis is out with an injury. I mean, the longer Deion Lewis is out with this hamstring injury, I think it is, I mean, you cannot make the club if you are in the tub. So meanwhile, Craig Cooper's taking all these reps. He's a big back. He looks good. He and Derek Locker are splitting some time back there behind LeSean McCoy. You never know, but I think certainly Greg Cooper will get a lot of playing time in the preseason.
Cooper's a stud. He's a stud. I got to see him play live a couple times here at the University of Miami. He is a punishing, punishing runner. He's good with kickoffs. Like, I don't know if this is going to be a bad analogy or put a bad taste in your mouth, but watching him run the football is kind of like watching Ernie Sims go collide with somebody. Like, he's a little bit undersized. He's just a fierce, punishing runner, and I think he's good. He's good catching. He's good blocking. I think Eagles fans are going to like him. He busted his knee pretty bad a year or two ago, so I don't know if he's fully recovered from that. But anyway, no. Here's to him making the team. I hope he does. He's a good player.
Okay.
All right.
And there he goes. Thanks. That is Craig Cooper there. Hey, I had a kind of a fun thing happen today. Do you have that ready, Sam? So the Eagles today invite out to practice UFC world champions Dominic Cruz and Frankie Edgar. They are in town to promote UFC 133, which takes place on the Wells Fargo Center on Saturday. Andy Reid, Michael Vick, Asante Samuel had a chance to meet with these guys. And they're really small guys. And they're beasts, okay? So here's a little video of those guys having fun with the belt, the champion belt, UFC championship belt. There it is. Vick's got it on, baby. Remember when Freddie Mitchell had the belt? Well, this is Vick with the UFC belt. So fun stuff there. And Asante wearing the belt. That's Dominic Cruz and Frankie Edgar, who are in town promoting UFC 133. Look at those two tough guys, two world champions with our two tough guys. And hopefully world champions. Amazing. All right, so a little fun there at training camp. When we return to training camp live, Jeffrey Lurie meets the media, the state of the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah! Oh, yeah!
Many people stop exercising because it makes them cough, wheeze, or feel tightness in their chest. Are you one of them? It may be exercise-induced bronchospasm, or EIB. These symptoms are preventable with treatment. Go to EIBandMe.com to learn more and get back to being active.
This aisle isn't big enough for two zeros.
Anything you can do, I can do better. I can do anything better than you.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can. Yes, I can.
Is that all you got?
I'm up to my knees in zero calories. Pepsi to the max, so let's drink all of these.
Snoop! Pepsi Max, too much taste to be called a zero.
Saving for our child's college fund was getting expensive.
Yes, it was. So to save some money, we taught our 5-year-old how to dunk.
Scholarship! Honey, go get him.
There's an easier way to save. Get online. Go to geico.com. Get a quote. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Have your attention. I have an announcement. Football.
Football's back! Yes!
Hey, Trish, football's back.
Football's back, man. Yes.
For years, one rivalry has divided a continent. In this showdown, players become legends, and goals are remembered forever. USA, Mexico, age-old rivalry, brand new chapter. Cheer on your national team when the USA faces Mexico, Wednesday, August 10th at Lincoln Financial Field. For tickets, call Ticketmaster or visit ussoccer.com.
She's even more beautiful now. Are you me? Quite a while from now. So, how'd I do? You did great. But don't forget about us. We still need financial advice. We have to protect and grow our money. You never know what's around the corner, Grandpa.
Confidently face your future with Lincoln Financial.
Go get a soda. Be right back.
Santa, my man.
Making a Pepsi.
Pepsi?
Yeah, Pepsi.
But Mr. Claus, I thought you had a deal with, you know.
I'm on vacation. I want to have a little fun.
Summertime is Pepsi time.
Naughty.
Nice.
Okay. Hi, everybody. I'll just say a few words on a few issues and let you ask as many questions as you want. It's really the first time I've had a chance to talk to all of you since we have a new collective bargaining agreement. That's really number one, where there were a few things that I feel were so important. And one is that to be able to come up with a 10-year agreement in today's sports world is really both unprecedented and great for all of us, for the fans. None of us want to have to go through this kind of stuff every 3 or 4 years, and the fact that it's a 10-year agreement is really great. The other thing is the formula that the NFL has that's really the envy of all sports leagues around the world. We were able to maintain, and for all of us, I think that was the most important thing, and that was that with guaranteed equal spending by all clubs, all teams, you have a sports league that doesn't favor big markets over large markets, more avid fan bases over less avid fan bases, whatever it is, we're always going to have a situation where every team at the beginning of the season is going to spend the exact same amount of money and have an equal opportunity to win big. And, you know, the comparable sports leagues, I guess the one you'd always have to compare it to, the EPL, the other really globally phenomenal sports league, English Premier League, they don't have anything like that. Certainly no other league does. And to me, that was, when you cut through all the issues, that was really the most important, to keep the formula going that's created this unprecedented popularity. And some other things, you know, I think that were undervalued and really, really important was we all felt an obligation to the veteran players that played this game before 1993. This really does, I think, help them tremendously. And they built the legacy of this sport. We're trying to grow it, but they built it. And also with the rookies, in terms of reconfiguring the pay scale for rookies so that veteran players would benefit more. Those were just a few of the key elements, but I think they're going to improve the game tremendously, and at the same time rejigger the economics that's fair for all the players that have played before and are veteran players now. On to the Eagles. This was a very, very interesting and unique situation where you have a long lockout after an uncapped year going into a capped year. with enormous opportunities if you can put together an aggressive blueprint and strike. And that's really kind of what we plan to do. I'm sure I'll get asked a lot of questions about it. Happy to ask, but this was a very, very interesting sort of combination of factors of two full years of free agency piled into one because of the restrictions in the rules of an uncapped year, where the fourth and fifth year players were very restricted, and so were not unrestricted free agents. So you had two classes, in a sense, rolled into one, going from an uncapped year to a capped year, where a lot of teams were going to have to figure out how they could get under the cap for the new league year. And at the same time, the first 2 years of the new collective bargaining agreement, as you know, have less stringent minimum requirements for each team. So there would be some teams that might not bid as aggressively, or were not required by the CBA to do that. So we thought that it was a real market, a buyer's market opportunity, and I think we were well prepared. Anyway, open it up to any questions.
Jeffrey, the term dream team was used by Vince Young and monumental by Jason Babin, and also a comparison to the NFL equivalent of the Miami Heat. How do you describe this collection of talent?
Yeah, those are obviously players that don't know us that well, and in Vince's case, new. We're about as far from a dream team as you can be. We're playing catch-up. The only dream team I know about is the Green Bay Packers. We dream to become as good as the Green Bay Packers and hold that trophy. And going into last year, you could say the New Orleans Saints, because those are the dream teams. They're the ones holding the Lombardi Trophy. We're consciously trying to play catch-up in an aggressive way. I personally thought that even though we won our division last year, and I thought we played the Packers very evenly in the playoff game and played them very well, but you have to understand, the way I looked at it, and I think most of us looked at it, is Green Bay won in a year in which a lot of their best players were injured. So this is not an accurate assessment of Green Bay last year, and they're holding the Lombardi Trophy. So when you add the JerMichael Finleys and the Ryan Grants and just a slew of great players all over, I think they're the team we're all trying to catch. They're the team we dream about trying to surpass, and so does the rest of the NFL. So the other thing I just add to that is the personality of the players we brought in, the personality of our players and our coaching staff, is we're a blue-collar football team. It's a grinded-out practice team. We go from practice to practice. Players like Jason Avon, Mike Patterson, those are the, I think they're the identity of the kind of team we have, and we are. And, I think that our style is focus what's on right in front of us, be humble, and be aggressive, but be humble, be confident, but understand we're just trying to play catch-up. That's all we're doing.
Do you think you have a Super Bowl team?
I think we'll compete. There's no question. We had a strong team last year, and we should have a better team this year.
Was there more of a sense of, not desperation, but more of the, you say the goal remains the same, but more of a sense to spend the way you have and go get the players you have to finally get over the hump?
Just to be accurate about it, all teams spend the same amount of money virtually. There are no tight minimums this year, but we always spend to the cap. So it's not about that. It's taking advantage of the marketplace. We thought there was a real potential for a buyer's marketplace with the ingredients I spoke of before. It's a unique situation to have uncapped to capped, 2 years of free agency rolled into one off-season, rolled into 1 week or two. And the lack of stringent minimums going forward for the first 2 years. We'll never see that again. We're never going to see that again. Certainly in the next decade, we're not going to see that. We thought we were positioned well. I got to give our guys a lot of credit, in particular Howie, Joe, Andy, I mean, we were very well positioned salary cap-wise to be able to take advantage of this very unique situation that occurred. We knew that if we could be disciplined and have a sort of a strike area for each player that we focused on, each position and each player, and when that player entered into, when the marketplace entered into a zone where we thought it was a strike zone for that player, we became extremely aggressive and tried to be creative. Every contract, though, was with an eye towards both maximizing the chance to win big this year and at the same time be extremely strong going forward. We don't believe in contracts that create dead money. We don't believe in sacrificing next year and the year after for contracts that wouldn't work best for us that way. We don't do that. We try to compile as many draft choices as we can. The last 2 years, I think we've led the NFL in the numbers of draft choices. And as you all know, going forward, we're loaded up for next year's draft. 11 or 12 choices already with 2 twos, 2 fours, and going from there. And Howie's building on the 2013 draft at the moment. So we don't really feel that philosophically there's any change, but this was a very, very unique marketplace that we wanted to be very agile and strike.
Jeff, you said that you spend this year as you have in the past. Why do you think the perception in Philadelphia was that the Eagles didn't spend enough money?
You know, in life there's a lot of misperceptions. We are a team that always spends to the cap, and we've done that through ever since I bought the team. So I think when you sign some big name free agents, there's an assumption you're spending more, but we're literally not. We're doing what we always do. We spend to the max because that's our blueprint. We spend to the max, but you try to be as efficient as you can in doing it, and pick the right players, and you know, I'm sure we'll make some mistakes and have along the way here, but Howie and Andy and Joe, very, very well prepared, and we have this, you know, constantly aggressive mentality.
Money to the max. You have a player in DeSean Jackson that's under contract but is holding out. Do you imagine an extension will get done to get him here in camp?
Yeah, listen, we all really like DeSean. He's a positive player, good person, and we have nothing but high hopes going forward with DeSean. I'm not going to talk publicly about any of the of the dealings with him, but it's all positive, and you know, we look forward to DeSean being here and working things out in a great way going forward.
Was the commitment that you spend in signing some of these free agents who were the team coming off last season, how much more emphasis is placed on the coaching staff to get this to a Super Bowl now? I mean, Andy Reid's been here. He's the longest tenured coach in the NFL. How important is it for this coaching staff to produce a winner?
Well, we only have one goal. We've won so many division titles. We've been in 5 championship games, Super Bowl. The only goal for us is to win the Super Bowl. Kind of done it all, and now you know, as it is every year, it's a primary and very sort of just a total focus is what is it going to take, and you know, along the way, obviously it takes a lot of talent, a lot of great coaching, and a lot of luck, and a lot of lack of injuries, and all that, but. We feel if you can provide all the ingredients, the tools, we have a great teaching coaching staff. Two, I think, of the most important moves of the offseason, we're bringing in Jim Washburn and Howard Mudd, two sort of icons of their position, and that's a big factor, too.
In addition to the wins you've had, what are some of the other things that have made all these free agents and all these people come here and say, this is a place we want to be, this is one of the more popular destinations around the league?
You know, I can't really answer that. You have to ask them. But I sense players really, especially players that have been in the league a while, they've earned a lot of money. What's missing? It's to win a Super Bowl. And they want to join a team that they think has a chance to win a Super Bowl, that's committed to it. And also, our coach, Andy Reid, has a you know, just an amazing reputation nationally, both with players and coaches around the league. I mean, just he's really very, very much admired, and it's not just because of his success, but it's the way he handles people and handles players. And I think that that helps us very, very much in recruiting free agents. And, you know, I think when you have a quarterback as dynamic as Michael Vick, that attracts a lot of talent. Who doesn't want to play with Michael? And I think that they know we were a strong team already, and to become stronger, hopefully, I think is exciting.
Jeff, I know Michael, where do you – he's on – he's got a one-year contract right now. I mean, what do you see as his future with the team? Do you see him around here long term?
Yes, I do. I do. Michael's healthy and in his prime, and you know, I look forward to having Michael for many, many years.
Are you working to get that extension before the cutoff date in September?
You know, I don't want to really talk. I never talk about contracts with players. That's for other people. And but we just feel all positive about Michael.
Jeff, I know you're a big baseball fan and you follow that stuff.
Yeah.
You know what the Phillies did, putting this pitching staff together. Just wondered if there was ever any sense of kind of seeing what they did and, hey, maybe we could kind of build a team the same way. Was there any kind of inspiration there at all?
No, not at all. It's so different. I mean, you're building a pitching staff. It's a completely different evolution. We have a salary cap. We're just trying to maximize players. You know, I think they've done a great job with the pitching staff there, and I admire it. But there's no Jerry Joneses, but not yeah.
Jeff, 2008, you guys are on the championship game on the road. You almost win, go back
yes.
to the Super Bowl. The next 2 years, you go out in the first round.
Yeah,
you said nothing's changed philosophically. The first round losses the last 2 years really not give you any more special. Let's change the impetus a little bit.
I tell you, we don't need any internal motivation. We're obsessed. last year, you know, honestly, I felt like the winner of our game with Green Bay was going to go to the Super Bowl. But I also felt, and I guess, you know, I'm a fan as well as an owner, I look back to the Meadowlands and the game in New York, and, you know, if it weren't for that amazing, unbelievable 8 minutes, we were down 28-10 in a very important game, and we lost to the Vikings in a game which would have given us a bye. And played a very, very good Green Bay team and played them almost evenly. But I tend to look at where are the gaps? Where are we remember the Meadowlands in such a, you know, phenomenal, that was one of the greatest football games as a fan I've ever watched. But until the last 8 minutes, we were down 28-10. So in the off season, let's make sure we're not in a position to be down 28-10 in a very important football game. So the motivation is all internal. It's as I said, we've won so much. We just want to win Super Bowl and go from there. And we don't need any more motivation than that.
Jeff, when Rob Ryan calls it the all hype team, and there's a perception around the league with the moves that you've made, do you feel you guys are, even though you don't have the Super Bowl, the hunted? That there is now a bullseye maybe that wasn't there before?
You know, I don't really know the answer to that, but I do know the Ryans will always, whether it's Rex or Rob, will always come up with a mechanism to try to create for their own team, you know, a coming together, and they do a great job. But I'm not somebody who talks about that kind of stuff. I think when you have a good football team, you should be a target. Certainly Green Bay, New Orleans, Dallas, they're all targets. New York Giants, they're all Atlanta, best record in the NFC last year. They're all big-time targets. If you can't, you know, take being the target and play on prime time, then you're not ready to win. So, but it's not our style. Anyone who knows me and knows Andy and our players, it's sort of the opposite of our style to talk about it.
What's your relationship with Andy? How's that changed over the years?
Andy Reid.
Yeah.
Oh, superb relationship. I admire the hell out of him. He's a great motivator, but he's an even better person. And the players in today's NFL, they respond to honesty and integrity. And there's nobody who has the direct communication and honesty and integrity any more than Andy does. Dynamic offensive mind and wants to win Super Bowl so badly.
There was a report this morning that despite all the free agent moves, that the Eagles were still roughly $4 million under the cap. Is that an accurate number?
I don't have the calculation in my head, but we have you know, the capability of making more moves, and injuries happen, and we always try to allow allow some cap room between now and the point where you can't use it anymore, because injuries happen in this league, and you got to be prepared.
Jeff, he talked about all the division titles and the playoff appearances, yeah. And I think 9 of the last 11 years have been in the playoffs, yeah, without winning a Super Bowl. In your honest moments with yourself, why do you think this team hasn't taken that next step, that last step?
You know, I don't have a great answer for that, honestly. When you can only win it if you're in the final, in the playoffs, in the final four or whatever. We've been there so many times. It can be the performance of a couple players. It can be bad luck where certain key guys couldn't play that day because of injuries. Certain players just thrive in the clutch, and not everybody is Tom Brady with 3 Super Bowls. He deserves it because he's an unbelievable clutch performer. So I just think you got to be in it to win it, and just try to set yourself up as best as possible. You got to try to maximize talent, but at the same time maximize depth, and that doesn't go hand in hand, because if you're maximizing frontline talent, you're minimizing backline talent, so you've got to try to do a mixture. It's a long season, a lot of it is just a question of playing well in those final game or two. Green Bay, I have to say, I really admire that they won it all last year with all those injuries, because you guys watched Jermichael Finley. I mean, talk about a young superstar. There's one, and Aaron Rodgers is only going to get better. As I look at the NFC, and I laugh when people say, "Oh, are you the favorites or something like that?" I mean, let's cut to reality. You got Atlanta coming off the best record in the NFC, terrific young quarterback in Matt Ryan. He's only going to get better. They add Julia Jones and Jacques Rogers and all those guys. Give them explosiveness. That's what they needed. Coming from the outside, they added Edwards, on pass rush to go opposite Abraham. They're loaded. New Orleans, great offseason, coming off Super Bowl win year before. Spectacular quarterback in Drew Brees, and they add Ingram, they add Cameron Jordan, they add everyone they've focused on. Sproles, loaded for bear. Green Bay is going to get all these star players back. With a quarterback that is off the charts in Aaron. So, and then you got a young potential superstar quarterback emerging in the NFC. Could be as good as any of these guys, and that's Sam Bradford. So, and not to mention the fact going into last year, everyone kind of on paper said Dallas was the best team. And you got the Giants who, as I said, manhandled us in the Meadowlands in the most important game of the year. So, given all that, that's how I see it when I go to bed at night. I see it as a extremely competitive NFC with, I'm sure there'll be some surprise teams I didn't even mention, but that's the dose of reality I have.
Let's take 2 more questions, please.
Do you have a policy of not doing contract extensions if a player is not in camp? Is that the team's policy?
That's been our philosophy consistently, yes.
You spent some time talking with Asante Samuel today.
I did.
Try to reassure him, or
yeah,
I did. Some of the things that he was talking about earlier this week.
Yeah, well, I said, I said to him, until you start yapping at the offense, you're not all the way back. I mean, and then you heard him the rest of the day there. He's what a great guy, terrific cornerback. I think in terms of playing with Namdi and DRC and the rest, he's talk about being opportunistic. He's finally going to have a situation where they're going to have to throw the ball in his direction. So this is a sort of a unique situation for Asante that way, and great guy to have. And, we'll see how it goes as we go forward. But it's great to have him back.
Thank you.
Yeah! Oh, yeah!
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, Better Banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, online banking with bill pay, and the flexible options you need to help make the pieces of your life or your business fit together a little better. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking.
Turn left. You have arrived.
Sweet belt. E-reader for textbooks. GPS. HD video cam for lectures. Gamepad. Have you ever considered this? It's got all that and more than 200,000 apps.
Technology to learn and play on the go, only at Verizon. Buy one Droid 3 by Motorola, the thinnest full QWERTY smartphone ever, for $199.99 and get another one free.
Guys, healthy green tea, tasty black tea, real sugar. That's what makes Snap look extraordinary. Not this.
Healthy green tea, tasty black tea, real sugar.
What'd he say?
No idea.
Snapple. Made from the best stuff on Earth.
40 years. 14,610 days. 1.2 billion seconds of Gatorade science, passion, and evolution. All for the 1 second you need it. The G-Series. Prime. Perform. Recover.
Beaky, I've been wondering.
Yes, sweet?
How can you eat ice cream every day and still fly?
Simple. It's not ice cream.
Sweet, sweet. What?
It's frozen yogurt from Turkey Hill Dairy. It's enriched with calcium and vitamin D for stronger wings. Try some.
Mmm, it's delicious. I'm going to get some for myself. God fly.
Turkey Hill Dairy's frozen yogurt and light recipe ice cream. In rich, timeless goodness, imported from Lancaster County.
Hey, fellas, y'all know what we got to do. We got to go out here and dominate the full quarter.
Yeah.
Everybody got to step their game up today. Everybody. Let's go.
And we're back. It's Training Camp Live. Dave Spadaro with you here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. The practice field quiet now. It was a great scene this morning. We will get you out to the practice field to show you some highlights very, very shortly. First, some phone calls, 610-758-1921. We heard from Jeffrey Lurie, team CEO, chairman, talking about the roster, the philosophy. Oh, what a day it's been. Here's your update. Headlines, August 4th, 2011. Mike Patterson's health has been updated. Eagles head athletic trainer Rick Burkholder talking about it. It's called an AVM. It may require surgery. A web of nerves is how it's described. And this is something that upon extensive testing from Lehigh Valley Hospital that they found that this is the cause of Mike's seizure on Wednesday. More tests to come. Absolutely no speculation about football, about surgery, about course of treatment. The point is the Eagles on top of this, and Patterson getting great, great care. Jeffrey Lurie had his state of the team address, which we just saw. Some injuries. The defensive tackle situation really amazingly thin. Add Antonio Dixon to the mix with a mild knee sprain. Doesn't sound too serious, though. But if you add in Victor Abiamiri, who has a foot injury, and Trevor Laws, who has a hip injury, groin injury, hip flexor, then and obviously Patterson's situation, very, very thin at defensive tackle. So the Eagles signed a couple of kids today, Charles Noonan and Brandon Collier for practice. Veterans Anthony Hargrove and Derek Landry will be on the field tomorrow. DeSean Jackson, no news, still a no-show, although the way Jeffrey Lurie spoke, it sounds like the Eagles really want to get something done with Jackson, but DeSean, just get in here, all right? And Jeremy Maclin remains on the sideline, although I believe he told a reporter that he'll be fine for the regular season, but we don't know that for sure. Veteran free agents are scheduled to practice tomorrow, so the entire team will be out on the field here at Lehigh, 8:05 tomorrow.
We've got Mike in Philadelphia joining us on Training Camp Live. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Dave. This is actually Michael from Newark, Delaware.
Hey,
I moved to Philadelphia.
Okay. Sorry about that, Michael.
That's all right, buddy. Hey, I am calling because of Mike Patterson.
Yes.
I read on Yahoo that he did have a seizure. Dave, I know all about them seizures.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I have them. I've had them all my life. I'm 37 years old. So I know what he's going through. This is my whole reason of calling. I wish him the speedy recovery and back on that football field.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what the cause of the root of your seizures is. They believe that it was caused by an AVM, which is a medical condition, in layman's terms, a web of nerves, a tangled web of nerves, blood cells in the brain. So,
yeah, that's Dave. I know what they're talking about. That is with me too. And I mean, Dave, you can hear that I'm starting to cry because I know what that man's going through. It's going to be hard for him. But being an Eagles fan all my life, that I want to see that man back on the field.
Well, hey, listen, Michael, thank you for the call. Listen, and don't get upset, Mike. He's in great, great care. He's getting great treatment. And sure, we want to see Mike Patterson back on the field. But listen, his health is the important thing, and he's in really good hands. And it sounds very promising. And so we all wish Mike Patterson the best of luck, no question about it. Ace in D.C. joins us. Hey, Ace.
Dave, what's up, man? You see, I got my 230-pound running back, right?
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Yeah. Got
okay,
your man.
Look, man. I got a gripe, man. Two situations, man. I'm sitting here reading these blogs on the side, man.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling Eagles fans, man, let's be smart for a second here. All right? This is Asante Samuel thing.
Mm-hmm.
He's got to be traded. Just put it like this. Okay. Us getting BRC and putting him in the slack defeats the purpose. Asante Samuel was terrible in coverage last year. Do you agree?
No. I think the Eagles' pass rush was not consistent at all.
Hey, Dave. Now, let's be honest with ourselves, man. Asante Samuel blew a lot of those games last year. He was in a lot of places where he wasn't supposed to be. Number two is, I don't see why we should keep him, okay? To me right now, I think that's going to be bad. We got Nnamdi and we got DRC. I don't think Asante, he's not even in their caliber.
Well, let me ask you this. If you have three wides on the field, this is why you keep Asante Samuel. 60% of the Green Bay Packers formations in 2010, three wide receivers. So would you rather have Asante Samuel, Dominique Rogers, Cromartie, and Nnamdi Asamoah? Or would you rather have Joselio Hansen out there?
Give me Joselio Hansen. Let me tell you why.
Oh, my goodness.
Because, hey, look, Dave, this is realistic. Samuel is not tackling nothing, okay? Let's be real. As good as this man, his interceptions, make cover up a lot of his flaws, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The man is not tackling nothing. So if I put him on the edge, he's still not going to, tackle a Green Bay Packer. He didn't tackle a Packer last year, okay? So I can't look for him to do it this year. Now, the other thing I'm stuck with is if he do good this year, I'm going to have to pay him a lot. And it's a no-win situation, so you almost got to get rid of him quick.
But here's the thing, Ace. First of all, you're going to get rid of him for what? If you trade
right
anybody,
now,
you get a major package back. Then I think
you will get it. Just the thing, though, Dave. You got to do this before the season in order to get a major package.
Well,
I saw somebody on the chat. Look, I think if you – this is just me saying it.
Yes, of course.
If you threw Arizona, Asante Samuel, and we got 12,000 picks over there in Philly, Asante Samuel and two picks for the rookie, I know they'll give it up. Not saying that that's what we'll do, but I'm saying it just don't make sense.
And the rookie being Patrick Peterson, right?
Patrick Peterson.
Yeah.
And I'm really with Joselio Hansen deserves that spot. Okay, I would rather have him in the slot. Asante Samuel is not a slot defender. DRC is not a slot.
I saw, it's interesting. They and we'll show you. Hey, Ace, thank you. We'll show you later. The Eagles worked on some pass coverage, and they put DRC in the slot, and only one rep, only saw one rep, but just, I think it was Riley Cooper, just locked him down. And if you can cover, you can cover. And if you can blitz, you can line up anywhere. And these three players are versatile, and Juan Castillo is going to have fun figuring out where to put them all if Asante Samuel remains. Now, I don't have an idea what's going to happen, but I don't think the Eagles are in any rush to make a trade. If you are able to get a package back, a very good package back for any player, you consider that package. But otherwise, you go with the best of what you've got. And I believe this, more than Joselio, more than Trevard Lindley, I like Brandon Hughes out of this training camp the most. I do. Good size, covering well. I think he's done really well. Take one more call, then we're going to get you out to the practice field. Eddie in St. Petersburg, Florida. Hey, Eddie.
Hey, Dave. Long time listener, man. First time I've ever gotten through. This is awesome. Hey, really enjoy your show. You guys do an excellent job. Watch every day. I'm so excited. I got my wife and kid out in the living room watching right now. what I wanted to say was, hey, it's a shame about Mike Patterson. I think, though, bringing Jenkins in with Dixon and Law on the line should be awesome. My question is this. Why do you think they're running Matthews at middle linebacker? I hear everybody talking about him being real smart. Are they doing what they did in Tennessee where they're running big defensive linemen in the middle, keeping this and letting the linebackers run around? Is that what we're seeing in our defense instead of having coverage linebackers and stuff like that?
Well, I think one thing here is, Eddie, is putting Jamar Chaney over the tight end. You know, listen, we've been talking about this for years, how the Eagles have struggled in coverage against tight ends. And Chaney's a very good cover man. So that's one piece. And then I think with Matthews, they just want to see where he is picking up the defense. How quick does he get to the football? When we get into preseason games, how does he get off the blocks? I'm not saying that Matthews is going to be the guy the whole way, but they want to give him a chance to show them what he can do. And there's still a couple of middle linebackers out there, Kirk Morrison, one, who...
Oh, yeah, it's definitely free agent market for them. It's not as big, as I thought it would be.
Right.
But last comment, man, if the Eagles trade Asante, I think it'll be the worst thing we could do. We finally have a backfield like Troy Vincent and all them back in the day. Why would they get rid of him now? I think that Asante is definitely... People saying he can't cover, that's ridiculous. I would much rather have a cornerback that picks off 11 passes but lets three guys score a touchdown than one that, you know, doesn't pick off anything but only and still gives up the three touchdowns.
Listen, hey, thanks, Eddie, for the call. I mean, it's the great question. Do you keep Asante Samuel? And right now he's here, and he's a great player, and he's having a tremendous training camp. And we're going to show you some highlights right now. From the morning practice, one of the early team drills. They have not tackled yet people in practice. They're still waiting to get the bodies conditioned for tackling. But you'll notice right here as the Eagles work in the team drill, great tempo, and as it turns out, some great execution. Oh, you don't have it yet, Sam. I'm sorry. That was such a good lead to it, too. Jeez, man. Anyway, we're going to take some phone calls after that. We've got Cullen Jenkins coming into studio. We've got Daryl Tapp coming into studio as well as we focus on the defense. Now let's go back to the field here and show you some of the practice highlights from this morning. We have the situation of third and four, ones versus ones. This is a blitz drill thud. Michael Vick at quarterback, Riley Cooper, Jason Avant near side. Single back is McCoy. And incomplete, nice breakup there as Vic walks away. We have the situation of third and four, ones versus ones. This is a blitz drill thud. Michael Vick at quarterback, Riley Cooper, Jason Avant near side. Single back is McCoy. And incomplete, nice breakup there as Vic walks away. Cooper and Hall near side, Sonoris Moss, far side, Vic under center. McCoy, the single back. Casey Matthews showing blitz. Now he backs off. Third and six. Vic drops, throws for Selleck, middle of the field there. Defense rallied to the ball, though. Good job by the Eagles defense in that blitz drill. Now the twos are up. One-on-ones here, running backs, tight ends against linebackers. Jared Johnson, the quarterback. LeSean McCoy up against Keenan Clayton. And McCoy beats him. Nice throw from Johnson. And nice catch. Clay Harbor now up against Brian Roll. Harbor having a nice camp. Craig Cooper up. Rookie, University of Miami, working against Casey Matthews. That is Cornelius Ingram, creating some space there against Jamar Adams. Way to go. Martell Webb, is that who it is? Nice move there. Big man against Greg Lloyd. Pegues up at linebacker. Worth watching here. Somebody the Eagles pretty high on. Against Stanley Havili. Good coverage there. And a nice catch from Havili. Jamar Chaney up against Brent Selleck. Nice move from Selleck. Little stutter step to the outside. Goes up the field. Makes a catch. Great matchup here. Casey Matthews and LeSean McCoy. Very tough matchup for Matthews. Rashad Genty in coverage here against Clay Harbor. Harbor creates separation, passed over his left shoulder. And here's Craig Cooper getting jammed by Moses Foku. Cornelius Ingram, nice route, nice catch, looks it in against Pegues. Derek Locke up now, very quick against Lloyd, rather against Clayton. Eagles now adding a safety, and the offense adding a fullback and a halfback, or rather fullback and a tight end.
Yeah! Oh yeah!
When times are tough, it can be hard to find that little extra bit of money. That's why you should get the Inquirer.
It comes with so many coupons and money-saving deals, savings almost fly out of its pages. Use the Inquirer every day, and those savings really, well, pile up. In fact, last year, the Inquirer carried over $129,000 worth of coupons and special ad offers. That's a heap of money. So get the Inquirer. It could be the difference between getting by and getting going.
The biggest thing about the first play of the drive, we knew the play the night before and we was going deep. We was going to take a shot.
Oh, he's back and he is looking deep.
This one's called the Deshauninator. If he hits it, he can rename it.
Where do you go to find a super business? You know, the ones who do such a super job, they're backed by the super guarantee. Only Super Pages. Wherever you are, wherever you're going, you'll find the super business you need. So next time, let the good guys save the day. Get the super guarantee, only at Super Pages. In the book, on your phone, or online.
It's beautiful. It's intelligent. Even genius. But does your network work?
Yes, I can hear you now.
This is America's largest and most reliable network, Verizon, built so you can rule the air.
Rico is the official document solutions partner of the Philadelphia Eagles. Visit Rico at www.rico-usa.com.
And you're looking live at the Goodman campus here of Lehigh University. It's a quiet, quiet time as the Eagles between practices, of course. Good practice this morning. We will get back out to the practice field and show you some more of what the Eagles accomplished this morning. I thought it was great tempo and some good execution. Michael Vick looking really, really sharp. And I like the way the defense is playing with the energy, with the tempo, with the aggressiveness. I think Juan Castillo wants to really, really bring it. But you also kind of, if you look around the league, you hear that from a lot of different teams. That's the theme. Blitz, 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 blitz. The blitz is back, people. The blitz is back in the NFL, and it worked against the Eagles late in the season last year with Vic and some of the struggles that the offense had late in the season. So the Eagles must be better up front, the offensive line. Let's go to the telephone, 610-758-1921. Let's talk to Julian in Virginia. Hey, Julian.
Hey, Dave, how you doing?
Great, how are you?
Pretty good, pretty good. Hey, I just got a comment off that Ace guy said.
Yes.
I don't see what he's talking about. That makes no sense. Get rid of Asante Samuel.
Well, he said have Hoselio Hanson. Now, I don't have anything against Hoselio Hanson, but he's not as good as Asante Samuel.
So, not nowhere near it.
I mean, clearly the Eagles have to figure out a way to make it all work. I get that, but I'm not going to trade somebody just to trade somebody.
Yeah, and you look at it, the players that we brought in are all team players. They're not knuckleheads or anyone like that.
I agree. It's an interesting deal. I mean, when I hear, Julian, that the Eagles are like the Redskins, I mean, there's no comparison to what this philosophy is and what the Redskins have done over the years. They've overpaid for average players. I don't think the Eagles have overpaid for anybody here.
Mm-mm. And just another comment. His name, DeAndre Brown?
Yeah.
How's he looking? I heard he's 6'6".
You know, it's interesting. It's interesting. I don't think he was on the practice field today. Oh, by the way, a little update about players. Ricky Sapp, a fifth-round draft pick from from Clemson last year, no longer here. I think he just left. I mean, there's not been an official word, but he is not here. That's been reported out there, so we are also passing it along to you. Ricky Sapp no longer in training camp, and if you were hoping for him to develop and be part of this defensive end rotation, it does not look like it's going to happen. As far as DeAndre Brown, I saw him yesterday. I actually didn't see him this morning. And we need to get some. The challenge here is that that the numbers are changing every day, that the roster is changing every day, and it's really, really hard to keep up on things. But my guess with DeAndre is that he's nursing some kind of an injury, and he's not on the field. So, again, a big kid, looks good in a uniform, you know, a long, long way to go in terms of learning this offense.
He could be that big red zone threat we've been looking for.
Well, I don't think he knows how to play at the NFL level yet. I mean, he's got a lot. You're not going to get it. The challenge, these guys, it's so difficult for them because they haven't had any exposure. They haven't had from April through August to learn the mental part of the game. And so when they get into the physical side of things, they're way, way behind, way behind. Thanks for the call. Thanks, Julian.
Well, I need it.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just saying, you know, love your show, guys.
Hey,
and that was it for me.
Thanks, man. 610-758-1921 is the telephone number. It's Training Camp Live here. Tomorrow, all of the veterans, the entire Eagles team, will be on the practice field for the first time. We will have complete coverage for you, of course, at noon. It's been a busy, busy day for us so far. Let's get you caught up on some of the headlines here. Mike Patterson's situation has been updated. Head athletic trainer Rick Burkholder saying that Patterson suffered an AVM, which is a tangling of the a web of nerves, blood vessels in the brain. Potentially, there are many different options for surgery or for not having surgery. Burkholder would not speculate on the future of Patterson. Would rather just say he's getting great treatment, great coverage from both the moment of the incident to the time he has spent at Lehigh Valley Hospital. He will see other specialists, and the Eagles are planning his next course of action. So we wish Mike Patterson the best of luck. Seems like he is lucky to have that happen. It's not a football-related injury of any kind. Jeffrey Lurie, team CEO and chairman, gave his State of the Team address, and he knocks down any of that dream team conversation. Defensive tackle really, really thin here. Antonio Dixon, the latest to go down, a mild knee sprain. DeSean Jackson still a no-show. Jeremy Maclin on the sidelines again. Veteran free agents scheduled to practice tomorrow here at Lehigh. Matt in California joins us. Hey, Matt. Yeah, Matt's gone. 610-758-1921. 610-758-1921. So much to get to. We've got a couple of defensive linemen in studio in just a moment. Darrell Tapp will join us, as well as newly acquired Cullen Jenkins. 610-758-1921, the telephone number. And it's been a nice day, nice camp so far. We're expecting a big, big weekend here with everybody in uniform. So we expect you to be out as well, either here at Lehigh, 8 o'clock practice every day, or on your computers on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Let's go to Junie in Pennsylvania. Hey, Junie.
Yes, how's it going?
Good, man. How are you?
Good.
What's happening?
Yes, I'm calling. I've been at training camp the past couple of days, and I've been watching Sonoris Moss. He's been looking pretty good out there. I was wondering, what's the chances of his making the team?
Hey, Junie, thanks for the call. You know, I will agree with you there. I think Sonoris has looked very good. Now, his history has been look good in training camp, and then he suffers an injury. If Sonoris Moss can stay healthy, I would say he has a chance. But he's got to stay healthy. But I will agree, he has looked good. He's quick, runs good routes, creates separation. So far, so good for Sonoris Moss. Tony in New Jersey joins us. Hey, Tony.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
All right, I just had a thing that was on my mind this morning when I seen Donovan McNabb and what he said about the team. Normally, I don't even get into all that, but he posed it as a problem with distributing the ball, but it was the same receivers and running back he mentioned he had when he was here.
Well, listen, I will just say this. I don't even care really what Donovan says, but I'll say the same thing now that I said when Donovan was here. He did not have a superstar receiver until Terrell Owens came here. Agreed. He had a Pro Bowl running back. He had a Pro Bowl tight end in Chad Lewis. He had a great offensive line in front of him, great stability in the coaching staff. a fantastic defense, won a lot of football games, didn't win the Super Bowl. No reason to have hard feelings, Donovan. Team has moved on. You should move on. That's all.
That's basically my point.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know why he would focus on the Philadelphia Eagles when he is a member of the Minnesota Vikings. It's over. It's done with. But there's, you know, whatever. The Eagles have moved on. We appreciate Donovan for his time here. Great quarterback. We love you. And someday you'll be in the Eagles honor roll. And I don't see anybody wearing number 5.
Yes.
And that's for a reason.
All right. You have a good day.
All right. Thank you for the call. Tony in New Jersey. Let's take one more phone call here, and then we'll throw you back out to the practice field. Take a look at the wide receiver. Oh, special cat. So the Eagles, every day in practice, they run a special cat. Today's special category was red zone. All right? Touchdowns in the red zone. No more field goals in the red zone. Touchdowns. Mary in Cincinnati joins us. Hey, Mary.
Hey, Dave.
You coming out?
Oh, I wish. We just invested in a big pool. So.
Oh, well, hey now.
We got to save our money, but yeah. I'm watching from...
When's the pool party? When's the pool party, and
yeah,
when am I invited?
Yeah, well, we got a lot to do before it's ready, but I'll
yes.
let you know.
I need to get back into Speedo shape. You know what I'm
there
saying, Joe?
I'm pretty excited watching all the coverage on the internet, and It looks like it. I'm pretty excited about this year to start. Looking forward to the first preseason game. So hopefully, will they be able? I had a question. Will they be able to get the free agents sign out on Disney Field? Do you think they'll play the first season game,
no.
or do you think they'll sit out?
No, I'd be shocked. I'd be shocked. I mean, the free agents are going to have less than a week of practice. So you're going to have a good practice Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday it'll taper way back, Wednesday's a walkthrough, Thursday's the game. To put a Nnamdi out there or Vince Young out there or Cullen Jenkins, any Jason Babin, makes no sense at all. So I'd be
yeah,
very
–
that's
I
why
–
that's
think so.
Yeah, that's why there's a 90-man roster.
Okay. So, I just have so many questions.
Well, go ahead. Spit it out.
Point one, but
today, Junior.
It's pretty exciting. I just hope that they can all gel with each other. Are you noticing as they stand on the sideline? Are they bonding with each other, with the new guys, with the old guys?
A lot of guys are holding hands, hugging each other, giving high fives, singing Kumbaya. I do realize that is a key. How do you come together as a team? How do you develop that chemistry? And I think one of the rallying cries here, Mary, is going to be dream team hunted, let's go get the Eagles. I mean, that has a way of really bringing teammates together. So I think it's going to be terrific. I think it's going to be really fun to watch this group come together, all of these personalities. But listen, every team has the same challenge. I'll trust Andy Reid's ability to put together a team. Look, all I care about is one day to the next. And then on September 7th, I'm only going to care about the St. Louis Rams. So as you go along, you beat the Rams, then you beat the Falcons, then you come home and you start winning there. Week by week, baby. Week by week.
Yeah. I have faith in our coaches and Andy Reid especially. I think if anybody can do it, he can. So it's going to be very exciting. I'm going to be cheering them on from here in Cincinnati, wearing my midnight green. And
there we go.
I'm just really excited.
Thank you, Mary.
And it's good to see you guys. And if I didn't have you guys, I'd have to watch all that national coverage, so luckily I have you guys to watch and watch the
Aww.
Practices and everything.
Thank
so
you.
Keep up the good work and keep doing what you're doing for those of us who are not in Philly.
Well, we appreciate that very much, Mary. Thank you. And we are here every day, of course, noon after each morning practice, taking a look at some of the drills here, and we'll roll to our special cat shortly. We'll take another call first, though. I thought Mike Kafka looked real good today. You know, I still look at the arm strength and I say, can he get the ball on a rope 25, 30 yards down the field. I actually thought he threw the ball really well today. Really well today. And had a good day. And you'll see some of those highlights. We've got so much to get to on the show. Eagles will come out for their afternoon practice here shortly. It's a non-contact practice. It's non-helmets. It's no pads. It is a walkthrough, once again, as they get ready for next week in the Baltimore Ravens. The Ravens come to town Thursday night, 7:30 kickoff. That game is seen locally on 6ABC. NFL Network will pick it up. We'll have satellite coordinates for you out of market on PhiladelphiaEagles.com a little bit later on as we get closer to the game. And, of course, on the website all game long, we're going to have photos. We're going to have a live stream, photos and a kickoff show and a halftime show and all of that. We haven't even talked about that. We're not going to – halftime show. No, don't cry, Jim. You'll be okay. We'll get it all. John in Florida joins us. Hey, John. I think if we showed the dog show, dogs chasing Frisbees at halftime, people would like it. John, what's going on here? All right, let's go back to the practice field. Show you the special cat. Excellent coverage here. Look at Michael Vick in this drill. He was on fire, and he really threw the ball well. Near side, Moss. Eagles running a trip right. Vic looking right for Avant down the slot. Wow. Three straight from Vic. Ones versus one. Samuel near side at cornerback. Rogers Cromartie on the right side. Vic dropped. Play action fake. Good protection. Throws to the left side. Wide open. Brent Celek. Two's up now. Mike Kafkit, quarterback, near side. It's Harper and Moss. Single back is Cooper. First and 10. Kafkit drops. Taps some pressure from the right side. And throws for Harper. Nice throw against Curtis Marsh. But had that been in a game situation, Darrell Tapp beating King Dunlap at right tackle would have been a sack. Moss near side, Harper far side, Harper the tight end, Moss in motion, Havili in front of Cooper, play action. Kafka drops, throws wide open, Harper.
2-7.
Another sack recorded, said Andy Reid. We take a look at the defense here, number two's up. It's a skeleton crew up front. Eagles have had some injuries, but in the backfield there you see Jarrett and Jackson. As we get back to the ball here, Johnson at quarterback. He's in the shotgun. He drops. Sees some pressure. Cooper makes the catch.
110.
Ones are up. It's from the 15-yard line. First and 10. Red zone drill. Special cat today. Backs are split. Schmidt and McCoy. Vic drops, looks to his left, now looks underneath for McCoy, makes the catch, short gain. Second and 5 from the 15, Avant near side, Cooper and Hall far side, single back is McCoy. Celek the tight end. Austin Howard lining up at right tackle. Handoff for McCoy. First and 10 now from the 15. Backs in the eye. Schmidt and McCoy. Avant near side. Cooper far side. Celek the tight end. Pitch out. Oop, they cover it. Trent Colt, great job covering it. Vic drops back and throws in. There he is again. Asante Samuel breaking up the pass intended for Jason Avant. All right, the Eagles have King Dunlap, A.Q. Shipley, Kelsey at center, looks like. Kafka back, two's up. Nice throw there for Clay Harbor, beating Brian Roll. Kafka in the shotgun, looking down the field for Turner. And that is Curtis Marsh in coverage. In the shotgun, it's Jared Johnson. Second and five. Near side is Harper. Pressure up the middle. So the Eagles now will go to a first and goal from the 10-yard line. Let's set you the offensive line at this point. It is Austin Howard at right tackle, Danny Watkins at right guard, Jamal Jackson center, Todd Harriman's left guard, Jason Peters right guard. Eagles look like they've got Riley Cooper in there. They've got Chad Hall, Jason Avant, and LaShawn McCoy, the single back. Brent Celek, the tight end. First and goal from the 10-yard line. Andy Reid not happy with what he saw, so he brings them back to the huddle. Here we go. First and goal from the 10. Vic back. Second and goal from the 10 now. This isn't worth it.
Yeah! Oh, yeah!
Don't nobody come in our house and walk on our ears.
Don't care!
Don't nobody do it!
Everybody gotta spend this game up today! Everybody! 7-0-3, 1-2-3!
Another good thing about GEICO is they've got, like, real live people working there 24/7. So, like, say you need to report a claim, right? A real person will be there to help you. Then you can use GEICO.com to view photos of the damage, track your claim, print an estimate. You want an English muffin? They literally hand you a toasted muffin with butter and jam. Oh, it's tasty. That's a complete dramatisation, of course, but you get my point.
GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Introducing Xfinity Internet, only from Comcast. Stream HD movies and experience your favorite games with blazing fast download speeds. Our fastest yet. Get started with Xfinity Internet for just $19.99 a month for 6 months. It's Internet reinvented. With blazing fast speeds and the top-rated Norton Security Suite, a value of $160. Get this special introductory offer on Xfinity Internet for just $19.99 a month for 6 months. Call 1-800-XFINITY today.
Many people stop exercising because it makes them cough, wheeze, or feel tightness in their chest. Are you one of them? It may be exercise-induced bronchospasm, or EIB. These symptoms are preventable with treatment. Go to EIBandMe.com to learn more and get back to being active.
Where do you go to find a super business? You know, the ones who do such a super job, they're backed by the super guarantee. Only Super Pages. Wherever you are, wherever you're going, you'll find the super business you need. So next time, let the good guys save the day. Get the super guarantee, only at Super Pages. Online, on your phone, or in the book. Look for your Super Pages being delivered now.
She's even more beautiful now. Are you me? Quite a while from now. So, how'd I do?
You did great. But don't forget about us. We still need financial advice. We have to protect and grow our money. You never know what's around the corner, Grandpa.
Confidently face your future with Lincoln Financial.
We are talking defensive line here in the PhiladelphiaEagles.com 10. I'm Dave Spadaro, joined by Eagles defensive end Darryl Tapp. Everybody, let's welcome into our 10 here. Second year, Philadelphia. How's camp going? Is it? It's a different world for you, this training camp, isn't it?
It is. It's brand new defensive scheme, brand new players every day. So, but it's been good.
You know, when the Eagles made the move to have Jim Washburn as the defensive line coach, I remember you were in the NovaCare complex and you were thrilled with the idea. Now that you've had a week of listening to him get on your case nonstop, how do you feel about it?
He's as advertised.
Yeah.
he definitely knows what he's talking about, a lot of passion, and he's definitely going to get the most out of us.
What makes a great defensive line coach? What makes him so great?
He puts in the effort to know how to put us in great position to be successful. What I mean by that is it's not like he's going by any blueprint or a script or anything. He's looking at our individual talents and then utilizing those.
So, in other words, you want to get off the ball and get up the field. You're a quick guy.
Yes, sir.
And that's what he's saying to you. All right, Daryl, ball snapped, get up the field.
Yes, sir. I don't need to be fighting with those big boys.
Right.
I need to go.
Is it a different hand technique that you are using now that you were taught differently last year by Rory?
A little bit, but honestly, the biggest thing is just that we're an attacking defensive line. We're running to the ball. We're getting there right now.
How do you play the run if you're going up the field like that? Will teams try to draw on you and screen you and things like that?
Definitely, but that's where us getting off the ball helps play the part in that. You know, when you get off the ball, you cause a lot of havoc. So when you get off the ball, you're able to react to some things and the pursuit take care of those draws and screens.
Daryl, is it with some retrospect, a lot different here than it was in Seattle?
Yes.
Tempo of the practice, the structure of the program?
Well, yes and no. Coach Reed is very similar to the way Coach Holmgren did things in Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
But Coach Reed is his own individual person. So it's positives and negatives.
All right. All right. Do you enjoy training camp?
The first 3 or 4 days.
Until it gets nasty out there.
Yes,
now,
sir.
It's interesting. There has not been any tackling in this training camp, right?
Right.
At what point do you think you'll be physically ready in football shape to tackle and it'll be safe for everybody?
Probably by late this week. By late this week we'll be getting ready. Guys are still getting in shape. I know guys worked out hard on their own throughout this lockout process, but it's nothing like playing football to get in shape. So that's what we're trying to get done now, as well as putting a new defense and the guys on offense running a new offense. So it's coming together, but we got to keep working.
What did you do in the off season during the work stoppage? What kind of training did you do?
I did a lot of everything. First and foremost, my wife is a trainer, so she had me doing ridiculous stuff all the time.
Like what? Like a lot of yoga, stretching, power?
Yoga, Bikram yoga. Did a lot of body weight exercises. Then I also worked out at Big Trey Thomas' 7 Do Sports.
Oh, yeah, how is that place?
Awesome.
Is it?
Sand pit, indoors, turf field, weights, the whole nine. So
okay.
I definitely put my work in, but like I said, it's nothing like getting ready for football other than playing football.
So the wife is a trainer. So you live the life. You eat
well,
you train. She's in great shape. You're in great shape. Do you guys pose, like go in front of the mirror and pose and do all that kind of crazy stuff?
We do. She opposes me, though.
Hey, Daryl, how's Philadelphia? I mean, you seem like you really enjoy. You're a city guy. You like the city. You
I
seem
love
to
it.
Really like the culture here.
I love it here. It's the people here are so passionate. It's a well-knit community, so I'm having a great time.
Was the playoff run last year, all the attention, all the media, what you hoped to? I mean, obviously, winning the Super Bowl is all that matters, but
right.
Getting to that point, was it an enjoyable experience for you?
It was, because I've never experienced media in this instance.
Mm-hmm.
The way it is here in Philadelphia. Seattle is kind of laid back, but Philadelphia, the media is right on top of you. The fans are rabid, and it was fun.
And you don't seem to have any problem with the media. You welcome all. You are available at your locker every day. It's
definitely.
It's no problem, huh?
It's fun to me, man. I enjoy it.
All right. See any good movies lately?
Before I came to training camp, I saw Transformers 3.
Oh, how was it?
Pretty good.
How was the babe? Was she better than Megan Fox?
I think so.
Okay.
I think so. And then I saw the movie with Jason Timberlake.
Oh, Friends with Benefits.
Saw that one.
Oh, boy. You go to all the girly movies, don't you, man? Come on.
Movie connoisseur. Movie connoisseur.
Daryl, so what do you do for fun up here when you're not? Is there any time to relax and get your mind away from what's happening here?
It is. Okay. Rather that first practice, I enjoy taking naps.
Okay.
Big fan.
Well, Einstein, I think it was, advocated 20-minute naps. That is the proper time to, because I'm a big nap guy too. Okay. That's what regenerates your brain. I generally try to steal in a 20-minute nap every day. And yours are longer, shorter?
Longer. I'm trying to get an hour. I need to get my mind and my body and my spirit.
Yeah.
So I need at least an hour.
Okay. Well, hey, listen, I know today is just another day in a march to a preseason game next week on Thursday, 7:30 kickoff, 6 ABC in Philadelphia. It's remarkable to think that you go from 0 miles an hour to 200 miles an hour so fast.
Yes, sir. We won a football season, and it's right here.
Yeah. Are you caught up in all these guys, Cullen, and having all these Jason and all the help that's come along board for the defense?
Definitely. It's going to be a great thing when they're finally allowed to practice and see where everybody stands and really get this thing going in the right direction.
One player won't be jealous of another player?
Not at all. We're trying to win here in Philadelphia.
All right. The question is chemistry. Is it difficult?
I mean, it's going to be difficult because you got so many different personalities, but with Coach Washburn at the helm of the defensive line and Coach Castillo and then Coach Reed over the whole team, I don't see any big major problems at all.
All right, we look forward to it. Darryl Tapp, we thank you so much for joining us here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com Training Camp Live.
Are you?
Yeah, in about 15 years.
I just want to commend you for sitting in coach.
Why? Well, you're saving, but you still need some financial advice. We need a plan to help protect and grow our money throughout our life.
Retirement isn't the finish line.
Where are you going?
Back to first class. We can afford it now.
Confidently face your future with Lincoln Financial. It's beautiful. It's intelligent. Even genius. But does your network work?
Yes, I can hear you now.
This is America's largest and most reliable network, Verizon, built so you can rule the air. Forty years. 14,610 days. 1.2 billion seconds of Gatorade science, passion, and evolution. All for the 1 second you needed. The G-Series. Prime. Perform. Recover.
When times are tough, it can be hard to find that little extra bit of money. That's why you should get the Inquirer. It comes with so many coupons and money-saving deals, savings almost fly out of its pages. Use the Inquirer every day, and those savings really, well, pile up. In fact, last year, the Inquirer carried over $129,000 worth of coupons and special ad offers. That's a heap of money. So get the Inquirer. It could be the difference between getting by and getting going.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, Better Banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, online banking with bill pay, and the flexible options you need to help make the pieces of your life or your business fit together a little better. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking.
Have your attention, I have an announcement. Football is back.
Football's back!
We welcome you back. Dave Spadaro here. It's Training Camp Live on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Let's get to the telephones. We have so much to get to here. It's so great. We might be live till like 4 today. Super. Set a record. Let's go to BK in, where's BK? Delaware? Maryland. Hey, BK.
Hey, what's up, Dave?
Everything good?
Yeah, everything is good, man.
Nice. What's on your mind?
Just had a few things to say. Okay. The guy, Ace, that I called earlier.
Everybody, let's call in and slam Ace.
That was a very ridiculous point of view he had. Asante Samuel is a pro bowler.
Yes.
A pro bowler. I don't suggest you trade him for anything unless you're getting the value quite capable of his ability. You understand what I'm saying?
I'm with you.
I say you keep him.
As much as I like Joselio Hansen, BK, to suggest that you'd rather have Joselio Hansen on the field rather than Asante Samuel is dumb.
Ridiculous. Yes. Yeah. Very.
Yeah.
Very ridiculous. In fact, you're right. The guy Hughes, I would take him over on Cecilia Anson.
I'm starting. The more I watch Brandon Hughes, the more I like him. He's got good size. He's quite a prospect.
That's true. And second, the defensive tackle position.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, we are thin in that area, and finding the two guys we signed. What's his name? Landry and the other guy.
Yes, Landry and Hargrove.
I don't know how I feel about that because they're very little. I looked at them; they were like 290 pounds. It's not that.
I think Anthony Hargrove has actually had a pretty good career. I think he's a pretty good player, actually.
Is he up to 300?
You know, 290, 300. You know that, but 270s. I mean, that I don't know what they're listed as. I don't know what their actual weight is. But
Are you comfortable with that? Like, I kind of need some big people in that middle.
Antonio Dixon's 320.
That's true. But just in case something does happen, I mean, take 90. He's not going to take 100% of snaps now, is he?
I don't know how it's going to work out here yet. Listen, they are very thin at defensive tackle in practice right now. But they'll be okay. Cullen Jenkins has yet to practice. You know, Antonio Dixon, we hope, won't be out long with that mild knee sprain. We don't know how long Mike Patterson will be out. We don't know how long Victor Abiamiri, certainly Trevor Laws.
Did I not hear Victor Abiamiri got injured again and the season is supposedly over?
A foot injury, we don't know the depth of his injury.
Well, he's not a defensive tackle anyway, is he?
Well, no, they moved him. They've been really giving him a lot of reps at tackle. He has not been playing much at all at end. The Eagles have enough defensive ends here. What they're lacking is defensive tackles.
My problem is that tackle position with all the injury that we're going through right now.
Yeah. We're taking a look at the offensive line, defensive line. So let's just roll this through. We'll keep watching a little bit of this. But, you know, it's not all perfect here, guys. Don't think that just because the Eagles made all these moves. They're not done making moves.
Of course.
They're going to keep adding. They'll keep adding. Danny Watkins, thanks for the call. Hey, by the way, Danny Watkins struggled today. I mean, I'm going to be straight up. He struggled. He's learning. He is a rookie. He's getting reps with the ones, but you'll watch him here, especially in combinations. He's got a lot to learn, and the Eagles are very high on him. They believe he will learn it, but he is not there yet. The defensive line, to me, appears far ahead of the offensive line. Willis in Delaware joins us. Hey, Willis.
Hey there. How you doing today?
Doing great. How are you?
Oh, wonderful, wonderful.
Good.
Surprised I got through.
Well, we welcome you to the show.
Oh, big Eagles fan. I think you talked to my brother last year. Oh, so it's my turn this year.
Okay.
I've been very concerned about the Eagles' red zone defense and offense.
Yeah.
Of course, that was the two areas that I think really were their Achilles heel last year. Defensively, I mean, with those lockdown corners, you're pretty much set. I'm still concerned offensively. I like the Ronnie Brown move. At least you got some beef. I like Stanley, Havili. I like him, is that couple downs, punch through, runner. But I'm still concerned about that big threat receiver.
Well,
someone that can go over the top.
I would love to have that big guy, too. You hope Riley Cooper takes the next step. I mean, hey, thanks for the call, Wills. You can't have everything. You cannot have every single thing. Let's hope if Jeremy Maclin's healthy and ready to go, then the Eagles are in good shape. This kid right here, by the way, guys, Cedric Thornton. It's not him? Oh, forget it then. Who is it? Do we know? Is that Noonan? Brandon Collier or Derek or Charles Noonan? Thornton, though, he's a guy to watch. Cedric Thornton. Like him a lot. Yeah, the crazy part of this camp is there's just players here we don't even know. There's no numbers on them. I can't tell you if that's Collie or Noonan. But they came with some fresh legs today. Kevin in California joins us. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, Dave. What's up?
Everything good. Thanks. How are you?
Good. I'm just calling in to say, like, how unbelievable it is what the front office has managed to do this offseason. I mean, most teams, they take one or two of the guys that we got, you know, but we got six, seven solid players, you know, that could start from numerous teams around the league.
Agreed. And that's the idea, that the Eagles want to make sure they are deep at every position. And that's why I think fans are saying, well, if that's the case, why is there a rookie starting at middle linebacker? Well, they want to take a look at Casey Matthews. They want
exactly.
to see what he can
and
do.
And like you said, you can't have, you know, Pro Bowl players all around the roster.
Cannot
you know?
Have Pro Bowl players. They're, listen, they've got I keep saying listen, I'm like Andy Reid. They keep a rookie punter and a rookie place kicker here for now. It's going to be Alex Henry. We just don't know.
When you drop the kicker in the fourth round, you know, it should be your guy.
Yeah, we just don't know if it will be Chaz Henry. But they both have big, big legs. Big legs.
Yeah, that's what I heard from training camp, too. Yeah.
Need more consistency, but big legs. Like today, Alex Henry boomed 52-yard field goals, but he also missed a couple. But the ones he made them by 15 yards. I mean, he's got tremendous leg strength. He just has to be more consistent. You can't miss. You really can't miss from 40 and in the NFL. If you miss from 40 and in the NFL, or even 45 and in the NFL, it's a risk. And David Akers has been around for a long time.
And he missed his last two, right?
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
So.
I don't know. I was watching ESPN First Take the other day, and Skip Bayless was on there, and they were talking about the Nnamdi going to Eagles, and he's like, he says, Nnamdi just went right for the money. That's the only reason he came to Philadelphia, not the Super Bowl, just for the money.
Yeah, well, that's not accurate. Skip Bayless is a jackass, and it doesn't mean he could have gotten more money elsewhere.
It's very obvious he could have gotten more money as well. It doesn't even make sense what he said.
Yes, you are correct, Kevin. Thank you. Let's set the record straight from your coast to my coast. Skip Bayless is a jackass. And I would say it to his face. No problem. We're watching offensive line. Thanks for the call. There's the kid, Thornton, right there, 72. Working against Jason Kelsey there. Eagles not set up front, but boy, are they working them. They are really working them. I love watching Jim Washburn's crew, and I love watching Howard Mudd's crew, and it's good stuff. Good stuff as we see Vanderveld there. Andy in South Philadelphia joins us on Training Camp Live. Hey, Andy.
Hey, how you doing? I can't believe I got through.
All right. Thanks for calling.
All right. I've been listening for like 2-3 hours straight now. Yeah, I'm just wondering, you know, with their wide receiver position, Malcolm Floyd is still a free agent.
Yes, he is. Now,
yeah, and I was just wondering, did you hear of any interest from us? Like, you know, is Philly interested in him?
Well, the Eagles... I don't know if the Eagles have made any sort of offers. I'm sure they've looked into him. I will tell you this, that what I hear is Malcolm Floyd is very close to making a decision. Sounds like the Baltimore Ravens could be his destination.
You think the Baltimore? Oh, man.
But that's okay. Hey, look, if Jeremy Maclin's fine, then there's no need for a wide receiver. If Jeremy Maclin is not fine... Then the Eagles, the Eagles have cap room. They could easily go out and get Malcolm Floyd, but they haven't made that move. So that leads me to believe that hopefully everything is fine with Jeremy Maclin.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, I'm hoping Macklin's fine. I just, you know, like the other guy that you were talking to, he said, you know, we need that big over-the-top, you know, receiver. Malcolm Floyd is that receiver, I think.
He's a great player. Unusual that he is on the market. And Andy, I don't know why. He's a good player. Averaged 19 yards a catch last year.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, you know, that's what I wanted to ask.
We'll see. Hey, thanks for the call. I mean, look, if the Eagles wanted to get somebody at wide receiver, they would. All right, let's shift gears here and welcome into the studio, everybody, the great Merrill Reese.
Hi, David.
You always laugh so humbly when I say that.
Well, because you know the great Merrill Reese. If you want to say great, talk about my putting.
It's not great. Merrill, first, let's talk about Mike Patterson here. Scary.
It is scary. We did a show over a luncheon today over at the tent, and one of our guests is a doctor by the name of Nirav Shah, who is one of the chief doctors at Princeton Brain and Spine Care, mm-hmm. and he's a neurosurgeon. And he gave us a very detailed explanation of what Mike Patterson has.
Share it.
And I could not begin to give you the medical explanation that he did, but what he's basically saying is that, number one, it's congenital. Number two, he's actually fortunate that it happened on the football field. Number three, it had to do with an absence of capillaries in the brain. It was something that he had going in. It had nothing to do with football,
right.
And it could be acerbated by stress, by any kind of physical problem. It could be
dehydration.
All of those things could have triggered it. It can be treated. There's a surgical procedure. There is also a non-invasive radiology procedure. And whether or not he can come back and play football is yet to be determined. He would not rule it out. It sounded to me, and I'm just going by what I was able to ascertain, and while Dr. Shah himself would not give a timetable or anything because he hasn't examined the patient.
Mm-hmm.
And like any kind of problem, there are different degrees of severity and different complications that can come on. But basically what he said led me to believe that it would be very unlikely for Mike Patterson to come back this season. If indeed he comes back, that's great, and he's able to resume his career. Remember, all of you knew when Teddy Bruschi of the New England Patriots suffered a stroke and they found out that it was a result of a hole in his brain, and they were able to do a procedure that enabled him to come back and play NFL football the following year. So I wouldn't write off his career, but I think Mike Patterson is somebody the Eagles cannot depend on coming back to play defensive tackle in 2011.
And clearly the health of Mike is the only thing that really matters. And
yes.
He'll be healthy. And
he'll be healthy.
Yeah,
he'll absolutely be healthy, and he will live a normal, productive life with no restrictions, although he may have to take some sort of anticoagulant medication throughout the rest of his life.
From a football standpoint, Merrill, I wonder how the Eagles react here.
I don't know what they do.
I mean, they signed a couple of players yesterday. Listen, Anthony Hargrove has been mm-hmm. in the league a long time, and Derek mm-hmm. Landry has been a starter. And if they determine that Mike can't play the rest of the year, you're losing a very durable, very productive
starting caliber player. I took a giant gulp today when Antonio Dixon went down.
Right.
Was there any prognosis on that?
Mild knee sprain.
So
that doesn't sound too bad.
No, that's not bad. In fact, I felt better about it when I saw him helped up, and instead of being carted off the field, he walked off the field.
Mm-hmm.
So he'll be fine.
Merle, do you think that injuries are the only thing that can stop this football team?
Yes. Yes. And, well, I should say, if you're talking about the Super Bowl and you get into the playoffs, a call here, a flag here, a penalty there, that can stop any football team. But in terms of how far this team is capable of going,
mm-hmm.
now, not just this football team. You take the Indianapolis Colts. If you were to probably ask Las Vegas, who's the odds-on favorite, the Patriots?
I think the Packers are.
The Packers. Let's say the Packers, the Patriots, the Colts, any of these
the
teams.
The Saints.
Saints, of course. Any of them, including the Eagles, have the wrong three people injured at the wrong time, and a team that is potentially 14-2 and 13 or 13-3 could be 9-7 or 10-6 in a heartbeat. But I will tell you this. This team, this Eagles team, has as much a chance of going to and winning the Super Bowl as any team in the NFL.
Merrill, how would you compare this roster? I mean, and again, we don't know. We've been watching them for a week here. This roster, top to bottom as we know it now versus top to bottom 2004.
Better.
Yeah, I do. I think so,
talent
too.
Talent-wise. They have one of the five best defensive players in the National Football League,
mm-hmm.
who we haven't seen on the field yet.
Yeah.
And I watched – how many of you out there watched Dominic Rogers Cromartie today and were impressed?
Yeah. He's,
wasn't he something?
I watched him. He's fantastic.
I mean,
Every day I've been impressed.
He is such a great, great athlete. And, of course, Asante Samuel is still here. Now, you know, Dave –
he was great this
he
morning.
He was great today.
Yeah.
Although I wonder, does this problem with defensive tackle make his stay here even more less likely? More or less. Make his stay here less likely because would they deal him now for a starting caliber, Pro Bowl caliber defensive tackle.
Would you trade a Pro Bowl caliber defensive tackle for a Pro Bowl caliber cornerback? That's really the question.
Depends on your need. I might if I had two other Pro Bowl caliber cornerbacks.
I wonder, boy.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, don't know, but I do think that the Eagles are listening.
Sure. It's interesting when you see you value cornerbacks and defensive linemen as much as anything in the game, especially obviously defensively.
And offensive tackles.
Yeah, and quarterbacks. And that's about it.
Mm-hmm.
But would you do that? And who would be out there? And
see, that's the big thing. I don't want that. I would not trade Asante Samuel for a draft choice.
No.
I would not trade Asante Samuel for just a good player. He would have to be a player who has been to the Pro Bowl or is on the cusp of being on the Pro Bowl and who the Eagles believe is a star.
There was a rumor the other day that the Eagles and the Niners were talking trade, and it would be Asante Samuel for Patrick Willis. And
well,
if, I mean, there's no way that the
there's no way the Niners are going to do that,
yeah,
because you're talking about
one of the best,
maybe the best middle linebacker in the National Football League.
Right.
There's
right.
no way that happens.
Right.
If that's the case, you want to offer Patrick Willis? I say yes, get him a ticket.
Right. Merrill, what do you think about Jeremy Maclin, and what are you hearing? What are you seeing? Have you talked to Jeremy at all?
I talked to Jeremy yesterday, and he told me he feels good.
Oh, good.
And he looked good, maybe a little thin, but he's thin to begin with. And Andy says, we'll know more as the doctors have the test. So I'm as much in the dark as everybody about that. But I will tell you that I spoke with Jeremy, and he did not seem like a guy with the weight of the world on his shoulders and somebody who feels that he'll be playing football quickly.
Okay. Have you seen Danny Watkins play?
Not enough to make any judgment, other than the fact that I know how highly Howard Mudd thought of him when he drafted him,
mm-hmm.
and he's been out here a couple of days. So anything I see from Danny Watkins at this point is premature, and we'll know more a week from tonight.
What kind of concerns do you have for this football team?
Injuries. Again, the ones that we talked about, defensive tackle. I'm still worried about the right side of the offensive line, particularly right tackle.
Mm-hmm.
I still want to see the safety position solidified. And I'm not worried about DeSean Jackson. They'll have him in camp.
Okay. Tomorrow is the day when we see every Eagle out here, Merrill. I'm really excited about that. And, of course, excited about the preseason opener next week, which you can listen to on the Eagles Radio Network. Kickoff is 7:30. Merrill and Mike,
I can't
will bring
believe
that.
It.
Isn't
we've gone from no football to a game in 2 weeks.
I know. Well, hey, hang on, because it's coming fast and furious. And I wrote this last night. I really believe that having Andy Reid running the show here makes such a big difference, because everybody's moving at a million miles an hour.
And they are.
Andy is very focused, very regimented, very structured. There are no surprises. And I think that benefits players and a team in this situation.
Yeah, I have a good friend with me out here at Camp Today, George Forster, who's the head golf pro at Radnor Valley. And George was just taken away with how meticulous everything is, how the practices go boom, 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 how everything is so orchestrated.
Okay. Well, Merrill, we appreciate your time here.
My pleasure.
It's always
great to be here.
Merrill Reese, everyone. We
Thank you.
Take a little break here. When we come back, we'll have Training Camp Live marching on.
For years, one rivalry has divided a continent. In this showdown, players become legends, and goals are remembered forever. USA, Mexico, age-old rivalry, brand new chapter. Cheer on your national team when the USA faces Mexico, Wednesday, August 10th at Lincoln Financial Field. For tickets, call Ticketmaster or visit ussoccer.com.
Introducing Xfinity Internet, only from Comcast. Stream HD movies and experience your favorite games with blazing fast download speeds. Our fastest yet. Get started with Xfinity Internet for just $19.99 a month for 6 months. It's Internet reinvented. With blazing fast speeds and the top-rated Norton Security Suite, a value of $160. Get this special introductory offer on Xfinity Internet for just $19.99 a month for 6 months. Call 1-800-XFINITY today.
Another good thing about GEICO is they've got, like, real live people working there 24/7. So, like, say you need to report a claim, right? A real person will be there to help you. Then you can use Geico.com to view photos of the damage, track your claim, print an estimate. You want an English muffin? They literally hand you a toasted muffin with butter and jam. Oh, tasty. That's a complete dramatisation, of course, but you get my point.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Guys, healthy green tea, tasty black tea, real sugar. That's what makes Snapple extraordinary. Not this.
Healthy green tea, tasty black tea, real sugar.
What'd he say?
No idea.
Snapple. Made from the best stuff on earth.
Don't nobody come in our house and walk on our ears. Hey, don't nobody do it.
Everybody got to speak this name up today. Everybody. 7-8-3-1-2-3.
Many people stop exercising because it makes them cough, wheeze, or feel tightness in their chest. Are you one of them? It may be exercise-induced bronchospasm, or EIB. These symptoms are preventable with treatment. Go to EIBandMe.com to learn more and get back to being active.
Beaky, I've been wondering.
Yes, sweet?
How can you eat ice cream every day and still fly?
Simple, it's not ice cream.
Sweet, sweet, what?
It's frozen yogurt from Turkey Hill Dairy. It's enriched with calcium and vitamin D for stronger wings. Try some.
Mmm, it's delicious. I'm gonna get some for myself. Gotta fly.
Turkey Hill Dairy's frozen yogurt and light recipe ice cream. Enriched, timeless goodness imported from Lancaster County.
One of the big Eagles free agent moves of this very brief and very hectic offseason, the man to my right. Please welcome to our PhiladelphiaEagles.com tent, Eagles defensive lineman Cullen Jenkins in the house. Thrilled to have you here, Cullen. How has it been these few days being a Philadelphia Eagle?
It's been great. I mean, you know, coming out here not knowing really what to expect. You know, this is heck, the first time I've been away from Green Bay, and man, they've shown me nothing but love out here. Love the fans, love the team. You know, just everything is nice.
In a normal off season, you would have had a chance to kind of go around and visit, and it must have been a different way of preparing for the decision that you were going to make. Sight unseen, kind of not a chance to visit a lot of people in any organization. I mean, did you find that you had to prepare differently to make your decision?
Yeah, like you said, you can't come out to the city, you can't get a feel for anything. Heck, I haven't even seen the stadium or the facilities yet.
Right.
You know, I haven't been around Philly yet at all. So, you know, I'm still kind of waiting to get down there and see what everything is like. But, you know, so far what I've experienced, you know, it's been nothing but the best.
Are you a city boy or country boy, or does it not matter?
Nah, I'm a little in between. You know, I'm not a big city person, but, you know, heck, I could adapt.
Yeah. In Appleton, my scope of knowledge about Green Bay is the 10 times I've been to Appleton, Wisconsin, which is like, you know, it's like the 1950s to us.
Yeah.
But it's very, I mean, you must have loved being a Green Bay Packer, the sense of community that the Packers have with their fans, and obviously winning the Super Bowl. Tremendous experience for you, Cullen?
Yeah, definitely. You know, going there and being there as long as I was, like you said, you know, it's a real close-knit community, and you know, everybody, you know, treats you with the utmost respect. And you know, it was a pleasure to be there, you know. But, you know, that opportunity has passed now, sure. And it's time to move on with the next chapter.
Jim Washburn is a legend as a defensive line coach here. Likes his linemen to get up the field. Likes his linemen to just get off the ball and go. Does that – that's something that's very appealing to you?
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, a lot of schemes I've been in the past, you know, you have to – you know, make sure you're staying within a scheme. Make sure you're being a team player and taking care of your responsibilities. And now you get out there and it's like, you know, they're telling you, you know, just go tear some stuff up. Just go make a play. And, you know, I can't wait to get out there.
I don't know you at all, Colin. I have a couple of press conferences, a couple of interviews. You seem like a very serious guy, a very, intelligent guy. What happens when you're on the football field? What's the flip that gets switched in your brain? What turns you into a physical, really nasty guy?
I don't know. You know, it's difficult. My dad used to always say when I was younger, you know, that you know, I was a rare person that could just flip that switch, you know, in game days. Because usually I'm a real laid-back person. Mm-hmm. You know, I joke around a lot, have a lot of fun, you know. But once you come out there and get game day, man, you know, you got to bring it all out then.
Do you go through any sort of pregame rituals to get yourself ready, or are you naturally just your quiet killer?
Well, you know, I joke around. Mm-hmm. You know, listen to music. You know, get the mood kind of, you know, going a little bit. But, you know, it's not too much. Not a big rah-rah guy.
Okay. I know you're a big Twitter guy, at Cullen Jenkins. So, Eagles fans, make sure you sign up. Let's welcome Cullen into the community here. It's at Cullen Jenkins on Twitter. What are some of the things that you bring to the fans of yours on Twitter? We talked just a little bit about this. You like to have a little Q&A with people?
Yeah. Some nights, you know, if you catch me, I will log on to Twitter, you know, and if you can hit me up at Cullen Jenkins, and if you address it to the Night Doctor, but I'll usually let people know, and I'll do Q&As with people. If people have issues or problems, you know, you can ask me, and, you know, I try to get around to some of the questions I get and respond to the fans.
Why do you feel so comfortable doing that?
It's just fun.
Okay.
You know, I just like to have fun, you know, just like to be, you know, bring humor, lighten people's day up, lighten the mood up.
Yeah, why not, man? Let's have fun in this world.
Oh, yeah.
If you weren't playing football, what would you be doing?
I went to school to be a teacher. I was studying to be a teacher, yeah.
What was your academic bent?
It was more elementary emphasis, so okay. It would have been somewhere between K through 8. But I had a triple minor in math, phys ed, and communication disorders.
Oh, man. See, I've been brainwashed by all these offensive linemen who say they're the smart ones and the defensive linemen are the dumb ones. Clearly, that is not the case.
No, it's not. Offensive linemen are robots. They're trained with what to do. You know,
you have to adjust to everything.
Yeah, you got to be smarter in defense because you got to adjust.
Any early sense, Cullen, of the level of talent you have here on the defensive line and really within the group of defenders here?
Oh, I mean, the talent we have here is tremendous. You know, it's just a matter of bringing it all together. And, you know, everybody has to understand each other out there. We have to become like a family out there so that, I mean, you can't just have everybody out there doing things, you know, if they don't work with each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, once we build that camaraderie, that trust with each other, you know, sky's the limit.
Is it hard to do that in 5 weeks here?
It's a lot tougher, yeah, but we'll be able to do it. You know, a lot of veteran guys, and, you know, we just have to take over, you know, and lead.
You mentioned this in your opening press conference the other day. Last year, this time, the Packers were a team everybody was talking about as being the team.
Mm-hmm.
And you had to kind of face every team's best all the way through the season. Now that everybody's made a big deal about the Eagles and all the acquisitions and to a very good team already, the Eagles are going to be one of those teams. How does a team overcome that kind of target, that kind of spotlight, that kind of intense scrutiny?
You can't place yourself up there on that pedestal. You know, we have to understand that we haven't done anything yet. We haven't, you know, we have to earn it. You know, mm-hmm. You can't just go out there and expect because we've brought in a lot of good players here that we're automatically going to do it. You know, everybody has to have that attitude that we're the underdogs because we are. You know, the Eagles didn't win the Super Bowl last year, so we're still the underdogs, and we have to have that attitude that we're going to go out there and take it.
This coaching staff, really rah-rah, really energetic. You feel like it's creating that kind of atmosphere on defense?
Yeah, we're definitely on a mission to bring a little swag to the defense there and get a little juice and energy going, and, you know, that's something that will get accomplished by the start of regular season.
I guess tomorrow, Cullen, you get a chance to get on the practice field. Finally.
I hope so. Well, yeah. Hopefully that weather don't be too hot for us out there.
No. Well, it can get hot in Green Bay. It gets a little humid up here.
Yeah.
It gets a little humid up. But in December, you'll be thanking us big time because it's nice weather here. It's not playing in blizzards.
I look forward to that.
Yeah. Well, hey, Cullen Jenkins, we thank you for coming to Philadelphia. We thank you for joining us on the show here. And good luck to you in practice tomorrow. Cullen Jenkins, everyone, on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Where do you go to find a super business? You know, the ones who do such a super job, they're backed by the super guarantee. Only Super Pages. Wherever you are, wherever you're going, you'll find the super business you need. So next time, let the good guys save the day. Get the Super Guarantee, only at Super Pages. Online, on your phone, or in the book. Look for your Super Pages being delivered now.
Did you know that Sprite is made with artificial preservatives? So get real. Try Sierra Mist Natural. Naturally sweetened with real sugar and nothing artificial. For a crisp, clean, lemon-lime taste. Deliciously refreshing Sierra Mist Natural. The natural one. For a refreshing twist, add a splash of your favorite fruit juice. Go to Facebook for delicious drink ideas.
At the end of the day, you can't fool people. Nothing sells like the truth. From our fresh pack sauce, to our fresh veggies, to our 100% fresh dough, never frozen, at Papa John's, we believe fresh is better. Nobody does what Papa John's does.
Carry out a large one-topping pizza for only $7.99. That's a large Papa John's pizza with your choice of one topping for only $7.99. Carry out only.
Everything's better when Papa's in the house. Better ingredients, better pizza, Papa John's.
Saving for our child's college fund was getting expensive.
Yes, it was. So to save some money, we taught our 5-year-old how to dunk.
Scholarship! Honey, go get him.
There's an easier way to save. Get online. Go to geico.com. Get a quote. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Biggest thing about the first play of the drive, we knew the play the night before and we was going deep. We was going to take a shot.
Oh, he's back and he is looking deep.
This one's called the Deshauninator. If he hits it, he can rename it.
Yeah! Oh, yeah!
And we're getting ready for the afternoon practice here. Players should be appearing from the varsity house in the next 10 minutes or so, so we'll get you a live look in at this afternoon practice. In the meantime, take some phone calls here, 610-758-1921. Let's talk to Zach in Warren, Pennsylvania. Hi, Zach.
Hey, how you doing, bud?
Super. How are you? Don't call me buddy, all right? I don't like being called buddy. I'm sorry. Just kidding.
So I have a friend who just moved from Cleveland. He used to play for
Everybody's
the Cleveland
a
Browns.
Funny guy. Yes.
he used to play for the Cleveland Browns offensive lineman in the 80s. And I was helping him move in.
Yeah.
He gives me one of his old Cleveland Brown playbooks, and I'm looking through the list of old coaches, and Howard Mudd from 1982 is his old offensive line coach.
Yes.
And so I asked him, well, can you tell me something about Howard Mudd? Because he's the Eagles' offensive line coach. He tells me he is the master of pass protection. He will take that team, and he will make them – he's going to give Vic time to set the ball down, make a sandwich, pick it up, and throw the ball.
Well, let's hope so, Zach. I mean, that's a great anecdote. You know, it is a different style of teaching, and it takes some time for these players to learn. You know, they've been learning under Juan Castillo all these years, and here comes Howard. And in 5.5-6 weeks, they have to learn a totally different way of pass pro. So it's really challenging. Now, I think he's got the left side of the line stabilized with Peters, with Harriman's, and now it looks like after a couple of days of experimentation, Jamal Jackson's kind of taking most, if not all, of the reps with the ones at center. Right guard, you know, Watkins has a long way to go. He's in there with the ones, but, you know, it's Vanderveld's getting some time as well. Right tackle, pick him. Who's the guy? That's your blind side, so Howard's got a lot of work to do, and he's the best. So I've really enjoyed watching him.
Well, Ryan Harris did block for the blind side of Tim Tebow there, who's also left-handed, kind of a mobile guy. So I don't know, maybe that helped him out a little bit. Do you think?
I mean, Ryan Harris has a chance to come in here and earn the starting job, no question about it. Tomorrow he gets on the practice field, and we'll see how quickly he learns Howard Mudd's ways. With Winston Justice out, you know, with Austin Howard and with King Dunlap not seizing the job completely, It's open competition. So, yeah, I think Ryan Harris could offer a real possibility over there.
I just got one more question for you.
Sure.
Dixon, how did he get injured? Is he going to be good for the season?
Dixon, no, he's just got a mild knee sprain. Went down today. He walked off the field. He should be fine.
Good deal. Hey, I just want to say you guys are doing a great job.
Thanks.
Thank you for keeping me entertained for about an hour each day, and looking forward to this season.
Hey, my why only an hour, Zach? What are you doing the rest of the day?
I actually have a job. So.
And you actually work at the job?
Right, I know, right?
Oh, man, this is not Eagle-like, but thanks, Zach. We appreciate a good anecdote with the... Yeah, in the 1960s, Howard Mudd coached the Cleveland Browns. Actually, was it the 60s, 70s? I think it was. It was the 80s, early 80s. He was a great player in the league. I think he was a member of the all-decade team of the 1960s, and he has been around for a long, long time. Likes toughness, likes athletic ability. You got to be smart. And he wants you to be versatile. Let's go to Mississippi and talk to Troy. Hey, Troy.
How you doing, Dave?
Doing great. How are you?
I'm doing good. I want to, first and foremost, best wishes to Mike Patterson. I hope he, is able to pull through and get diagnosed and get the treatment he needs to come back, whether it be this year or next year.
Yes, agreed. Agreed.
But I was thinking to myself, we're getting all these injuries around the defensive line. Why was Broderick Bunkley traded as soon as we got Cone Jenkins?
Well, I think the Eagles just don't think that Bunkley is good enough to play here. So you can have all the camp bodies you want. Once you trade Broderick, and we wish him the best of luck in Denver, you free up some cap space so you can do some other things. And they just felt that he wasn't going to make it here.
Well, I mean, he was hampered most of the last season.
I think Jim Washburn is the kind of coach. He takes a look at you. Gives you a few days to get used to what he's trying to teach, and if you're not on the program, you're gone.
Yeah.
He's not going to give you months and weeks and months and a year and 2 years. He's here to win now, and I don't think Broderick Bunkley was performing up to the standards. I mean, if they saw something in Broderick Bunkley that Jim Washburn liked, they would have kept him here. And okay. it's been a pretty dramatic fall from grace for a former first round draft pick.
I was reading all your pieces in the offseason. We had all that time, and you were saying he's poised for a big season.
Yeah, I thought, everybody thought that if there was somebody who would really benefit from Jim Washburn, it would be Broderick Bunkley. It's not.
I feel you. I thought he'd fit well. He's athletic and he moves around real well, but he just doesn't have big size to him.
He just doesn't. He's not dynamic, and that's what I've talked to Jim about. He's looking for dynamic defensive linemen, and that's what he's got here. He wants people who are going to fire off the football, who are going to get up the field, who are going to – just from watching Jim, okay, what he's yelling to his players is, you better run on every play. Every second you're on the field, you give it everything you have. And if you don't, you're not going to be here. If you don't practice the way he wants you to practice, you're not going to be here. It's a different tempo.
Anything about him yet?
No, nothing. He's the report out there, I think, was that Ricky left, and we have not seen him for a couple days.
Well, hey, I like this. If you're not going to do what expected, then you got to go. I can understand. I can relate to that.
Yeah. So it's a new day here, and Howard and Jim and all these coaches. You see Johnny Lynn, as vocal as he is, and as much coaching as he does. It's a different kind of atmosphere. It's very intense. It's very collegiate. It's very demanding, and it's fun. And the players like it. The practices are very, very fast.
All right. Well, I appreciate you answering my question. Just was a little curious.
Hey, man. Thanks, Troy. 610-758-1921 is the number. As we continue on here. Wait, was that from Skip Bayless? Did he call me El Baldo, or was that from Adam Kaplan? Oh, El Baldo. That's good. Thank you. Who tweeted it out that I said he was a jackass? Oh, Twitter. Twitter is the death of me. 610-758-1921. Hey, I like, Skip Bayless's career, but, enough's enough. RJ in Allentown joins us. Hey, RJ.
Hey, I was wondering how Trent Cole was doing. I haven't heard his name too often.
Looks great. Trent Cole looks great. Really, okay. Really loves what Jim Washburn teaches, loves the tempo, loves the urgency, loves the method of teaching, the discipline, the energy. That's all. That's what Trent Cole is.
Nice.
Yeah.
I'm really excited for the season.
Yeah, I think he looks great. Thanks, RJ. I really think he looks great. I don't want to keep looking at Twitter, Sam. I just missed it here. What's Kaplan? Hey, maybe sun reflecting off the head. Is it me or has Spud been a loose cannon so far this year? What? So loose cannon. Is this from Adam Kaplan? Oh, golly. I didn't even know Adam was on Twitter. No, I'm just kidding. Kaplan NFL, the Twitter war. Yeah, it's so mindless. So mindless. We have one more period of practice to show you from the morning, and that would be the wide receivers and the defensive backs here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Great crowd on hand for the afternoon practice. Reminder, tomorrow the Eagles will invite all of their players, all of them, all of the veterans, onto the practice field. So it'll be the first day where we'll get a real feel for what Andy Reid and Howie Roseman and Joe Banner and Jeffrey Lurie are putting together. So let's take a look at the morning practice here from the Goodman campus of Lehigh University on a beautiful day. As you see, the Eagles setting up shop and the coaches gathering and the crowd's building. As we take a look back at the morning workouts, the wide receivers and the defensive backs. All right, one-on-ones here from the 10-yard line going in. Sonoris Moss, Curtis Marsh. Oh, great move. All right, here we go. Rod Harper up at wide receiver. Jamar Adams, good coverage there. Here we go. Asante Samuel, Riley Cooper. Jason Avon up, Joselio Hansen, Michael Vick, the quarterback. Double move to the outside. Great catch. Riley Cooper, Jorick Calvin now from the 5-yard line. A little fade. Nice battle there. Rod Harper, Jamar Adams, back shoulder.
You place him now, you got him. Okay, gotcha. All right,
I'm not going to quit on us.
Colt Anderson now against Brent Celek. Shady McCoy, Jamar Wall, or Jamar Adams. Michael Vick, quarterback with Clay Harbor. We've got Brent Celek now. Colt Anderson. Clay Harbor, Nate Allen. It's Dominique Rogers, Cromartie, and Riley Cooper. Cooper lined up tight. Slot receiver here. Oh, Nice play there, Dominique. Jason Avant, Curtis Marsh, fade route. Oh, nice route. Very tough ball to complete. Marsh competing well there. All right, special cat now. It is red zone drill, first and 10 for the Eagles. Vic drops back, looks left side for Cooper.
Two seven.
Many people stop exercising because it makes them cough, wheeze, or feel tightness in their chest. Are you one of them? It may be exercise-induced bronchospasm, or EIB. These symptoms are preventable with treatment. Go to EIBandMe.com to learn more and get back to being active.
So, it's only one Diet Mountain Dew left.
Love the taste of Diet Dew. Race you for it.
We could do that.
Hold on!
The whole thing!
Bring it!
Diet Mountain Dew. Diet tastes better on the mountain.
This tastes so good.
Show off!
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, online banking with bill pay, and the flexible options you need to help make the pieces of your life or your business fit together a little better. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking.
At the end of the day, you can't fool people. Nothing sells like the truth. From our fresh pack sauce, to our fresh veggies, to our 100% fresh dough, never frozen, at Papa John's, we believe fresh is better. Nobody does what Papa John's does.
Carry out a large one-topping pizza for only $7.99. That's a large Papa John's pizza with your choice of one topping for only $7.99. Carry out only.
Everything's better when Papa's in the house. Better ingredients, better pizza, Papa John's.
Ricoh is the official document solutions partner of the Philadelphia Eagles. Visit Ricoh at www.ricoh-usa.com.
Yo, guys, football's back! Woo!
For years, one rivalry has divided a continent. In this showdown, players become legends and goals are remembered forever. USA, Mexico, age-old rivalry, brand new chapter. Cheer on your national team when the USA faces Mexico, Wednesday, August 10th at Lincoln Financial Field. For tickets, call Ticketmaster or visit ussoccer.com.
And you're looking at the varsity house here as the Eagles players starting to make their way out for this 2:45 afternoon practice. It is a walkthrough, of course, in the new NFL. It is interesting as we take a look. We'll keep a camera there. You know, there are former players who come by. Why does that tall guy have to be right there? Former players who come by and they look at the practice regimen. They're like, oh my gosh, why did I retire? I don't know who number one is. Is that Jared Johnson? Or did Vince Young change his number? Are we breaking news here? Follow that guy. Get on the camera and follow that guy. Let's zoom in. I'm interested to see. This is very exciting. Oh, I was going to say, and so you talk to these former players, and like they're watching practice, and I'm like, what's going on here? This is a cakewalk. So we caught up with a couple of the former Eagles who are now in the Philadelphia media as we... Let's take a look. Zoom in. What do you got? You can't zoom in? Well, nice. Nice throwaway camera there. I think that's Jared Johnson. I don't see Vince Young. That's not a Vince Young walk. That's a Jared Johnson walk. I'm going with it. Well, we'll catch up with him a little bit later on. But I don't know. This is intriguing to me. Uniform numbers... are changing every day, many times a day sometimes. That's Johnson. Gerard Johnson. Why has he changed to number one? He was number eight before, right? Make things that make you go, Now, I know, for example, Jason Babin is changing his number. The guys are changing their numbers. Ronnie Brown's going to change his number from 36, I believe, to 33. Oh, 23. He's going to be 23. That's right. So what will Jaquan Jarrett be? Yeah, he's really got a couple more dollars in his pocket, that's for sure. All right, so one of the players we talked to today, former Eagles linebacker Ike Reese, now with WIP, talking about what the moves the Eagles have made and what they mean to this 2011 Philadelphia Eagles football team. Ike, your read on everything the Eagles have done here?
Very exciting. I mean, they've here's the thing you love as a fan of this team, and me being a former player, when you see there's weaknesses in the team, obviously when you don't win a championship from the year before, what you want is your team to go out there and address those perceived weaknesses. And I don't think there's any Eagle fan out there that can't be satisfied with the organization and the coach's approach to addressing those weaknesses on this team. And they've upgraded it in several positions, and they put themselves right in a position to be there at the end.
The defense last year, historically bad in the red zone. They go out and they bring in four Pro Bowl players. I mean, is it possible to get all those pieces together by September 11th?
Well, that's the million-dollar question. I mean, it's going to be tough. I mean, I don't think you can discount the fact that no offseason took place, basically, for these players. I mean, that's going to be a difficult situation for every coach to navigate for their team. But in particular, when you have so many new pieces coming in on top of a new coordinator taking over, the familiarity is not there. So it's going to be it's going to be real interesting to see how well they do here in training camp, getting everybody to retain the information that the coaches are putting out for them.
We haven't seen him. Who knows? But a rookie at middle linebacker, is that really?
Well, it hasn't worked before. I mean, let me just say that. You know, Jeremiah took over in his second year, I believe, at middle linebacker. And the system is a little difficult at times for young players. But the one thing I will say Casey has going for him is that the pedigree is there. I mean, he's from a long line of great football players, thinkers of the game. He's been around the game. I'm pretty sure he's not new to studying film, and so I'm pretty sure he's a good student of the game. And it'll be interesting to see how fast he can pick up this system, but more importantly, command the huddle. You know, that's the important thing about the middle linebacker position. It's a quarterback position. So can he command the huddle with all those Pro Bowlers staring in at him?
What questions do you still have about the team?
I want the right tackle situation answered. I know Winston Justice didn't finish off the season, particularly that game, because he was injured, had some surgery in the offseason. They brought in some guys, King Dunlap, Austin Howard. Those guys are going to get a look. But I'm real nervous about protecting the quarterback's blind side. So I think every other position has pretty much been answered. Of course, there's going to be questions at the safety position with the youth movement being there. But with so much talent around those guys, they should be able to compensate for the inexperience up the middle of the defense. But the right tackle position is the one that concerns me the most.
And at this point, two rookie kickers. It's
well, yeah. How did I forget about that? the third
There's
phase.
So many other things to look at. That's why.
Well, the third phase of the game is an important phase of the game. And you're talking about replacing the franchise's all-time great point producer in David Akers, and then Sav Rocha, who I thought had probably his best year last year as the Eagle. What a couple of young guys. But Alex Henry, NCAA's all-time best field goal kicker, and the situation at the punter, I'm pretty sure they'll get that resolved. But Bobby April's a great coach, and I'm pretty sure they're not going to go into the season not feeling comfortable at those two positions. So they'll give the young guys a chance here in training camp to get it together. But come September 11, if these coaches aren't comfortable, I'm pretty sure they'll make the necessary moves to upgrade that position as well.
Last one, you were here, the buzz of 2004. Yeah. Your perspective is different now, but kind of compare the feelings.
Well, the one thing I will say, and I have said about that 04 team, we upgraded in two key positions, but the other players were familiar with the system. That was a team that had gone through the wars, a couple disappointments. So there was a more of a, okay, now we have the final pieces, let's go get it done, as opposed to there's a new brand of excitement here with all the new pieces coming together, shortened off season. But I think that's also contributed to all the excitement. We just don't know. There is a unknown factor here with all these new players and all this talent being assembled. There's an excitement here, and it's an excitement that hasn't been felt since 2004, which coincided with the arrival of one Mr. Terrell Owens and Javon Kearse.
And there you go. That is Ike Reese, who we love. It's the afternoon practice going on. Can you get Tucker up for me? Tucker from L.A. is on the line. He's been waiting patiently. Hey, Tucker.
What's up, Dave?
How you doing, man?
Doing good. I'm feeling really good about the team. A couple of things that are popping up already, though. It's so surprising that this defensive tackle, that all of a sudden we're thin there when, you know, it just shows you how quick everything can change. Because I was remembering earlier in the week, you were saying how loaded they were.
It goes to show you how important being prepared is. And when the Eagles went out yesterday and signed Anthony Hargrove and Derek Landry, and you kind of went, they're not going to make the team. Well, if Mike Patterson doesn't play this year, you know, Anthony Hargrove potentially plays a huge role. You know, he's a good football player. Cullen Jenkins, who's had some injury problems in the past, recent past, has to play a lot, and so does Antonio Dixon. And all of a sudden, this kid, Cedric Thornton, who has a ton of talent and a ton of upside, and Trevor Laws. So, yeah, I mean, every move matters, and it does change very quickly. You're right, Tucker.
And, you know, the biggest thing I think all of us Eagle fans are worried about is the fact that there are going to, you know, bunk Patterson out. No real strength up the middle as far as, I mean, I don't want to say no strength. I don't know. Like I've already told you, I'm not a big fan of putting a rookie at the middle linebacker, but up the middle of this defense, you definitely have to start worrying about.
Well, you know, it's early, and again, the way free agency is structured, there are many good players still on the streets. And the Eagles have a lot of their lists, and they have cap room, and they're not going to do all. Listen, this is the way I look at it. They're not going to do all of this work, make all of these moves, and then stop short. They're going to do everything they can.
That's a good point, Dave. And you know, I agree. He was saying, I was listening to him on WIP actually, and he said he made a good point. People kept complaining about the linebacker and then the two safeties, and he was like, look, you know, they believe in the players they brought in here. They drafted two second round safeties. I mean, you can't just sit them on the bench. You gotta play them. I mean, that's why you drafted them,
right?
And you know, I agree with that to a point. I wanted to say one other thing, Dave, in regards of Asante Samuel. I couldn't imagine this team in this training camp without him running around like he was this morning. I mean, he's the one guy who always makes me smile. He's the one guy who always sticks out in the crowd. And I think he's a great player. I think most Eagles fans do. But not only that, he just seems to bring so much energy and fire to this football team. I really, really hope we hold on to him. I was really encouraged by what Mr. Lurie said. And I don't want to make that trade.
And listen, I mean, he's a great football player. Now, you don't trade good football players unless you get an offer that you can't refuse. And that's the way I look at it. And that's the way it is for every player. As we take a look at live practice here, the quarterback's
starting to wrap up, though, Dave. Like, you know, I always considered, like, once this Thursday deadline hit, you would think most of the moves would be made. Like,
yeah, I think they are.
I just don't see a trade. I mean, just looking at up and down teams, I think what a lot of Eagles fans forget when they throw these names out there is the other team has to agree with you. The other team has to want to move a Patrick Willis, which is ridiculous. The other team doesn't want to move Patrick Willis.
No, I don't. That's not going to happen.
Obviously.
But the, you know, Howie, isn't it interesting that Howie in 2 years has been so aggressive, has pulled off all of these moves? Not all of them have worked, but boy, he's made some really good moves. I mean, the Donovan McNabb trade was a great trade. The Kevin Cobb trade looks, hopefully, and we're all looking at it on paper right now, fantastic move, good value. And this is a guy that when Michael Silver wrote the story on Yahoo.com last year, that the feeling around the league was that Howie was difficult to deal with, that it was going to be tough for him to make trades. Certainly hasn't been the case.
Yes, I remember that, and I was extremely skeptical of him. I kept telling people, we don't know what type of team he's going to build because he's never built a team before, and I know that he's young, but I have to admit, he's really, I know he's turning heads in the NFL. I mean, you're hearing his name on national television all the time. I mean, he's done what he's supposed to do. It seems like he's done what he's supposed to do. We'll see how it turns out. But, Dave, I just want to thank you, man. I got to get out. Go Eagles, 2011. Let's bring it home.
Thanks, Tucker. Thanks for calling from Los Angeles. Let's take another call here. And then we're going to go to Mike Quick, who we spoke with on the sidelines during practice in the morning. As we take a look at live practice here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com, this is the afternoon walkthrough. If you haven't been with us throughout the preseason here, throughout the training camp, you've missed a lot because we're live so much, and this is what they do in the afternoon. And there's a big crowd here, and it's fun. And they get a nice view of the players without helmets, which I think is kind of cool, actually. They get to look inside and see what the players' faces are like. Let's go to Cherry Hill and talk to Doug. Hey, Doug.
Hey, man.
How you doing?
Good.
Good.
I want to comment on Ace from a couple hours ago. Every time I watch the show, he comes in and says some of the most ridiculous things I think I've ever heard on any Philadelphia sports.
Ace is building his reputation among Eagles fans, and I'll just to remind everybody what he said. He actually said that the Eagles really need to move Asante Samuel, and that he would rather have. Correct me if I'm wrong, Doug, but this is what he said. He would rather have Joselio Hanson on the field than Asante Samuel. Correct?
Which is insane. Like just from a numbers point of view, statistically, and fundamentally, they're just two different players. And I think Asante probably has 6 inches on Hanson.
Yeah.
That's not necessarily. I mean, I think Hanson is good for. He stepped in and played a couple of different positions and all over the place, and he's good in like a utilitarian type of role. But to be the guy, I mean, I think obviously Revis is regarded as the number one corner in the league, with Nnamdi probably a close second. After that, you don't really hear third, fourth, fifth, but Asante's got to be third or fourth up in the league of cornerbacks in the league. He's one of the best.
You know, Doug, what I think a lot of people are saying is that Asante, his formula is as an off corner, and that the Eagles want to play more press coverage, and that Asante's style doesn't work here. Well, I look at him in practice here, and he dominates. And he dominates in the division, and he dominates in big games, and he's in the history of the NFL as cornerbacks go and making big plays and interceptions in playoff games, he's the best. So
he's unbelievable. And now, his numbers did not dip to a point where it's like, oh, he's done. No. I mean, of course, cornerbacks hit a wall. Like, cornerbacks and running backs hit a wall around 30, sure.
Yeah.
But I think that he still has gas in the tank. And one of the intangibles that he brings to the team is that, and I'm not in the locker room, but it seems that all of the defense is kind of looking towards Asante as not necessarily a leader, because I think he is almost a one-man wolf pack, but I think that he is that older guy on the team that has been on the team as long as anyone else besides Patterson, really. I mean, who else is on the team that's been around for that long?
Yeah,
it's
a good point.
That team.
Yep, it's a good point. Thanks, Doug. I mean, he definitely is. You know, he actually is a leader in his own way. He is not the, I guess, maybe a quintessential leader, but he's very respected here, and he sets a tempo in practice, and I think everybody recognizes that, and he makes it a lot of fun in practice. I really enjoy watching him, and I enjoy listening to him at practice. So, you know, whatever. Hey, Ace, you're making a lot of friends here. Let's go to Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and talk to Shannon. Hey, Shannon.
Hey, what's going on, brother?
How's it going, man?
Listen, man, I don't know. I got to team up on Ace. I mean, he says some amazing things, but I mean, goodness gracious. I mean, he lost all credibility on that one.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what I don't hear, Dave, is it possible to trade Joselio?
Sure. And a quality player and somebody who can certainly step on the field, Shannon, and make plays.
Exactly. I mean, maybe we get like a nice tackle. We won't get like a all-world tackle, but maybe we'll get like a nice tackle or a middle linebacker or a linebacker. Maybe that may work. I don't know.
I like it. Everybody's playing GM. Everybody's focused on two positions now. Middle linebacker, defensive tackle.
That's it, man. Listen, Dave, what do you think, man? Do you think because of Howard Mudd, because I think Mudd and Washburn are two acquisitions that a lot of people are underestimating. Do you think that now, because we have a strong, hopefully have a strong offensive line, the tight ends can go out more now, and maybe Brent Celek can get out and get busy a little bit more?
Well, you know, let me see what right tackle looks like, Shannon.
Exactly.
I don't see it yet.
I know. Now listen, so we got Brent Celek. Do you think Cornelius Ingram would beat out Harbor?
Well, listen, no. I don't at this point.
Because Harbor hasn't been looking good in training camp. Or correct me if I'm wrong.
He had the one drop in the red zone drill that you saw.
Yeah.
I think Clay's running very well. I actually think Cornelius is running quite well.
Yeah.
But I also think that you've got to consider Donald Lee. Now I don't know if they're going to keep three tight ends. They didn't. They signed Donald Lee on the first day of free agency for a reason. We have not seen him practice yet, obviously.
Right.
But he's here for a reason. He's a good blocker. He's a good red zone threat. Big guy. Looking forward to seeing him tomorrow.
Yeah, I think it's going to be Brent, maybe this guy Lee. And I don't want to throw I think Cornelius is a diamond in the rough, man, but he has to show up, man. He has to do something now, man. There has to be a sense of urgency. And hopefully Riley Cooper will be that big man that we need in the red zone. We can depend on tight ends and as well, you know, Riley Cooper as well, hopefully. I don't know.
So you look at this picture. Donald Lee is the guy throwing, and he does this all day in practice. Throws the football up in the air and catches it, and that's that's what you do, guys. If you have a youngster who wants to be a receiver, you got to touch the ball, you got to catch the ball, you have to just keep practicing on your own. And Cornelius Ingram there, and the line, and the running backs, and the challenge I see there is where is Deion Lewis, number 27? He's got to get on the field again, got to get back on the field. But Shannon, I can't tell you about Brent Celek. I don't know the right side of the offensive line yet.
Yeah, and that's crucial because our quarterback is left-handed, so, I mean, that's his blind side. So we definitely, Winston Justice, whoever it is, the other guy, what's his name? What's the other guy who's been filling in?
Austin Howard, King Dunlap.
How does he look? How does Austin Howard look?
Not as lights out.
Like a starting right tackle, huh?
Not as lights out as I thought he would last year.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it all come together, like you said. As Philly Eagles fans, we want it all, man. We want a perfect team, but of course we're going to have some holes. But hopefully, we can get everything shored up before September 11th. So,
yeah, hey Shannon, thanks for the call. This is a very good football team with a lot of work to do. All right, during the morning practice, we caught up with former Eagles wide receiver Mike Quick, now the color analyst on the Eagles radio network, and the topic, of course, the 2011 Philadelphia Eagles. Lock the door, the kids are coming. Mike, your reaction to everything the Eagles have done in the offseason here?
I like your hat, Dave. It's really, really nice. It's a real fashion statement.
Okay, well, let's start. So, your reaction to what the Eagles have done here?
I think, just like everybody in the Delaware Valley, I'm real excited about all of these moves. And, you know, the interesting thing is, you know, you look at this football team and you look at where they haven't had depth in past years and you look at almost every position now, and I think they're pretty loaded. And they'll end up releasing some guys that end up playing somewhere because they really do have a lot of talent out here right now. And you can't keep all of it.
How difficult is it to meld all that talent into a team?
I think the difficult part is that you don't have the same time period that these coaches have had in the past. Although you have an entire preseason now, it's going to take a lot of work on the scouts' part and a lot of work on the assistant coaches' part to try and weed out the weak from the strong and get the guys in here that's going to most help this football team.
Have you figured out what Juan wants to do schematically, defensively?
No. That's one of the questions that I have because I'm sure that there are going to be some changes. You know, with the way that the defense was so complicated last year and guys had trouble trying to pick up everything in the defense and scratching their heads too often rather than just playing, I know there are going to be some changes, but they haven't really divulged anything about the changes yet. But even just watching them, you can tell that it's not as complex as it was.
Do you believe in a shutdown corner? Is Nnamdi a shutdown corner? Does that exist these days?
I don't know. I think, you know, there was a guy named Deion Sanders who could do that But I don't know if there's really such thing. I think the two corners that they got in are really complete football players. You know, they play real well at the line of scrimmage. You know, they are able to shadow wide receivers. They tackle well. And that's what you want. But first and foremost, you want those guys to be good cover guys because that's really what they do, and that's what they're paid the big bucks to do.
Are you buying all this Dream Team nonsense?
That's a bunch of hype. Curb the enthusiasm. You know, this Dream Team, that doesn't mean anything. What matters is each and every Sunday being prepared to play that team on the other side of football. And if you prepare well, if you scout their team well, you know their strengths and their weaknesses, and you're able to take advantage of that, that's what's important. All that hype, preseason, all that, you know, that's just a bunch of nonsense. It's a matter of what happens between the lines. All that other stuff is just hype and things that we in the media and the fans will enjoy, you know, prior to the games.
We thank Mike Quick for his time. Of course, the Eagles playing the Baltimore Ravens next Thursday. Can you believe it? The preseason beginning already. The game broadcast 7:30 kickoff locally on 6ABC. Nationally, the NFL Network will pick it up at some point. We'll have all the satellite coordinates for you on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. And we're live throughout the game with rolling updates and photos and specials. There's going to be some merchandise specials. We've got the post-game show. They've got it all for you, some highlights as well. So make sure you get your fill of Eagles football. The preseason, unbelievably, 1 week away. All right, some key players here we met with after the morning practice. Running back LeSean McCoy having a great camp. Could be the best player on the football field. How about that for a statement? We talked to him after practice this morning. He is in great, great spirits.
All you can do is hope and pray that he'll be okay. You know, and it happens so fast. You know, so you know, hopefully he'll get better. And you know, we gotta do the right things as far as practice hard, and you know, and drink on the right fluids. You know, and be prepared.
How's the team coming together offensively, in your opinion?
You know, we look good. We look good. You know, still fresh. You know, camp is still early. You know, missing a couple guys. I think, you know, key players for offense, you know, to do the different situations. But, I mean, for right now, we look good. I mean, I think coach is doing a great job of getting some good backup, you know, and some guys up front, you know, some big playmakers. So, we look good so far.
Is it tough to get into a rhythm when you don't have everyone out here? The free agents can't practice, and obviously not all your receivers are out here yet?
I think so. Because you only get the full vibe. The guys are going to be out there with you in the critical moments of the game. You know, game in and game out. You know, so you got so many new guys. But I guess this camp is still early. You know, guys working their way in, working their way out. But I think, you know, all the old guys that has been here, you know, the starters, we kind of have a rhythm for each other. So it doesn't take, you know, too long to kind of get back.
What's Deshaun telling you about when he's going to come in?
I mean, we've talked, we haven't, you know, talked too much about football. You know, me and him are good friends outside of, you know, football. So that's kind of his business. You know, we might have the same age, but that's his thing. You know, I don't want to get telling him, you know, what I feel he should do. That's his, you know, situation.
You tell me you miss him on the field, though, right?
Oh, I definitely miss him, man. I miss that 10 running around.
Can this team play without him? Can you even think about playing without him?
Nah, I mean, I can't. I can't see myself not, you know, not playing with 10. He's one of our, I mean, everybody knows, no secret. He's one of our big threats, our big playmakers, you know, so hopefully they'll get that worked out.
Makes you better, right?
Yeah, I mean, it makes everybody better. I think if anybody's missing, Michael Vick's missing, or Macklin, or myself, or Selleck, you know, they're, you know, key part of the offense, you know, and he's also, I mean, one of the biggest players in the NFL, so wherever that goes, you know, I'm sure he'll be here. That gets something worked out.
Have you told him that? Have you told Deshaun over the phone that, hey, you need to get here, we need you here?
Well, I mean, some stuff you don't have to tell. I mean, you know, I don't think I have to tell him or obligated to tell him that he needs to be here. You know, he's a great player. You know, like I told you before, I don't really get involved. You know, that's their situation. That's their business.
Shady, when you get everybody into camp here, is that going to be when it really sets in that this is a Super Bowl or bust kind of team?
I don't see no bust at all. We'll always be competitors. I think this franchise has always been like that. But I think when you get everybody here together, you kind of see, you know, how everything will be.
How concerned are you for Mike and what he's going through right now?
Big concern. You know, this how everything unfolded yesterday. You know, and his heat. You know, it's a tough sport. You know, that big of a guy and all that, the padding and everything. So hopefully it'll be all right.
Well, it turns out it wasn't the heat. He probably didn't know, but he had a brain condition.
Is that right?
Kind of affected.
Yeah, I didn't even know. I just seen, you know, the after effect, I guess, him on the ground. So I didn't really know. But, I mean, hopefully it'll be all right. Prayers are out to him.
Thanks,
That's running back LeSean McCoy. Dave Spitter with you here, Training Camp Live from the Goodman campus of Lehigh University as we take a live peek at the afternoon walkthrough for you. The walkthrough, the stand through, the stand around. This is what they're doing in the NFL now. There's Ronnie Brown, Deion Lewis. Is this actually live? It's live coverage of the bathroom. Can you get this anywhere else? I mean, this is awesome. Let's see how steady the camera is. This is great. Guys, you're on the field. Well, I don't care whether you're in Philly or California or Florida or Nigeria or anywhere. It froze. But this is, and it unfroze. You're on the field, guys. All right? I hope you love it as much as I love showing it to you. It's Training Camp Live. I don't really want to move. Let's take a call because I'm down with this. I'm down with this. 610-758-1921. For all of you not doing any work today, we love you. We absolutely love you. Corey in Philadelphia joins us. Hey, Corey.
Hey, what's up?
How do you like this on-the-field shot?
Yeah, man, I'm loving it because I'm at work and I'm still watching.
Yes, thank you.
I can't be here, but I'm watching.
Well, we love you for it, man.
Thanks.
What's on your mind?
I'm the biggest Eagles fan, just like everybody else going to say they is out there. I just can't get over this Asante thing. Like,
What thing is that?
We need to keep him. It's not a debate to me, Dave. Like, why do it halfway? You go out there making all these big moves, one-year deals, and just keep him for at least one more year. If y'all want to deal him then, deal him then. I just feel like it's not a debate.
Again, I will refer to this philosophy that I have, and I think that everybody has. If you get a deal that you cannot turn down that helps mm-hmm. your football team this year,
mm-hmm.
you make the deal.
Exactly.
Otherwise, you don't make the deal.
Exactly. If it's not, I don't want to trade for a draft pick 2012. I don't want, if it wasn't Patrick Willis or somebody to that caliber player, I don't want him. I just feel like it's no, cornerback is such an important position anyway. And mm-hmm. I just feel like if we keep him, it's going to do nothing but benefit us. And get DeSean Jackson on the field. Just make him happy. He deserve it. I feel like he deserve it anyway. I know they got something going on there. I just want all my players. I want to see the whole picture together. Like, this is for Eagles fans, and I know you too, Dave. Like, this is a dream come true to us. I just want to see him finish strong.
Yes, indeed, Corey. I'm with you. I think we all feel that way.
But, I mean, that's it, man. Just hold it down, man. I love what you're doing.
Thanks, dude.
All right.
Thanks. You're looking live at practice here, guys. This is awesome. Now we're on the field. Now we're off the field. Take another call. On the field, off the field, on the field, off the field. I could sit here all day watching this. As you are. Now, what do? Do you close your office doors? Like, how do you get away with it when you're at work? I've always wondered that. I'm not in Gmail. Who called? Trumard. Hey, Trumard. How you doing?
I'm doing well, Dave. How's it going?
Good, thanks. Where are you calling from? What part of Jersey?
West Orange, New Jersey.
Ooh, Giants country.
Tell me about it.
Yeah.
All of my neighbors are Giants fans.
Well, you stick with what we are, my friend. You bleed green to the core. You got it?
Oh, you got it. Don't you worry. I have an Eagles flag in front of my house.
Nicely done. Nicely done.
They already know.
Well, we're taking a look at Nnamdi Asomugha. Nnamdi will practice tomorrow along with all of the veterans here. It still is kind of hard to believe that he is the guy, right?
I'm extremely excited
to
see Nnamdi get on the field, man.
Yeah.
I just wanted to make a comment in regards to Asante Samuel and the whole cornerback situation.
Sure.
Definitely keep Asante.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know if any of the coaches.
Well, let me ask you this, though. If the Niners offered you, and they won't, but if the Niners offered you Patrick Willis, would you take it for Asante Samuel?
Nope.
Oh, be a tough one to turn down.
I would turn it down. And the reason why is because I think he's a great locker room guy.
Yeah,
You know, I mean, you couple the locker room with what he does on the field. I mean, you can't forget what all he's brought to this team for the last few years.
Right.
You know, I mean, right now, I understand he's on the other side of 30.
But listen, ultimately, and thanks for the call. That beeping is driving me crazy. But the ultimate objective with every move is to make your team better this year. And if the Eagles get an opportunity to do that, no matter what player they're talking about, you do it. You make the deal. You get it done. Can we go back on the field? Is it frozen? What's he got? I just want to see it. I don't care what it is. Okay. We're on the field. That's cool. All right, let's go down to Maryland and talk to Paul. Hey, Paul.
Dave, what's going on, man? Long time no talk.
Yes, indeed. Where you been?
Oh, man, about to go to Afghanistan.
Oh, are you? Well, God bless you. Good luck.
Yeah, man. So I've missed the whole season this year, man, but you got to keep me informed.
Okay. Yeah, we will. But, you know we will.
I was looking, Dave. You know, I've been pretty good with my predictions, man. I told you Kyle was going to go to the NFC West.
Yes, you did, and you were right.
I want to say, you know, I think everybody should relax. Man, I think Clay Matthews is actually going to be pretty good. I mean, excuse me, Casey Matthews.
Yeah, listen, and I think the Eagles are taking every possible opportunity to look at him, to give him some more reps, to give him some more experience. And he's obviously done enough that they feel comfortable with him as the starting middle linebacker at this point. Now, that could change, but at least through the first week of camp, he's the guy.
But they say he put on about 10 pounds, right?
Yeah, he's up to about 245. Can he maintain that? Can he maintain that?
So we're looking at, so far, him, Chaney, and who else? Foku?
Yes, Foku's been playing weak side. They flip-flopped the strong side, weak side.
Okay. Now, as far as, I know there's been a lot of talk about getting rid of Asante, possibly. But what about the possibility of playing a nickel package the whole game? What do you think about that?
Yeah, there's no, and Juan Castillo talked about this the other day. That is something the Eagles can do. They can run three cornerbacks a lot in base formation.
I think that's what's going to happen. I really think that's what's going to happen. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, Paul, you're right. And having this kind of depth gives the Eagles a great deal of flexibility with their scheme.
It's a passing league anyways, man. It's a passing league anyways.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was going to see Deshaun Jackson. Any movement on that? Getting him back on the field?
Other than Jeffrey Lurie saying today that, look, we love Deshaun and we want to get him in here as soon as we can. And other than that, there is no sign of Deshaun.
Well, yeah. You know, hopefully we get him back fast, man.
Yeah.
And get this ball rolling. I looked at the schedule, man. I'm looking probably, I want to say 11-5, man. 11-5, 12-4. And, you know, I think that's definitely enough to win the division, probably the whole NFC conference.
Well, hey, I'm going to go one game at a time. I'm looking at 16-0. I never pencil in losses. I just don't. I don't look ahead and expect losses. Call me crazy.
Perfect. Now if we can just get Marty McFly to run the football a little bit more, I think we'll be good to go.
Well, hopefully the Eagles will have leads, and then they will run the football, and they will score touchdowns in the red zone.
That's it, man. Okay, Dave, you have a good day.
Hey, thank you.
Ace is an idiot. You have a good Eagles day.
All right, man. God bless you, and best of luck over in Afghanistan. And represent Midnight Green, all right, no matter where you are. We talked earlier after the first practice to Trent Cole, Eagles defensive end. Let's actually, can we go to Babin first? Let's go to Jason Babin. A brief interview with Jason Babin, part of the autograph session today. He's looking forward to getting on the practice field, getting it on tomorrow at practice.
You know, our biggest thing is Mike okay. You know, when it happened, we're just, he's our guy. We want to wish the best for him.
Does it kind of get you thinking about the fleeting nature of the business and how?
Yeah, it's you know, it was emotional. I mean, it took an emotional toll on all of us, the alignment that day. So we were right there. So it really makes you think and really makes you appreciate everything that was going on.
Plus, his team has had so much good stuff happening around it. When something like this happens, it sort of kind of takes you down a little bit, I would think, right? It takes the mood down a little bit.
Yeah, it took the wind out of our sail yesterday, but I know Mike would tell us you better get back out there, you know, and even text us, let us know how he's doing. So we're out here grinding. I'm not yet, but everybody else is.
Was it a little frustrating not being able to practice when you thought maybe that you would finally?
And there you go. That is Jason Babin. We're taking a live look at practice here. Training camp presented by Sports Authority here at Lehigh University. For our final interview of the day, let's go to defensive line. We're really heavily theming the D-line here. Trent Cole, obviously a lot has happened with the D-line today with Mike Patterson news, and he is doing well. They have found the root of his problem, they think. It's what's called an AVM. And Rick Burkholder, Eagles athletic trainer, updating us on that earlier today. We will obviously keep you up to date on all of that as the day and night go along. Let's throw it over now to Trent Cole, our interview with the Pro Bowl defensive end.
Practically half the year we're together all the time, you know. So, you know, it's it was a little different, but, you know, it's to come here to work and get what we need to get done and keep moving on, you know.
Is that easy to do to say, you know, there's still a job to do, still business to be done when that's in the back of your mind?
I mean, like I said, there's a lot of things that we play through. You know, we're used to this. We're professionals. And, you know, that's what we've always been in situations like this. You know, there's something always comes up, you know. But that's the job we do here, you know. And we professionals and we work through stuff. Yeah.
All the stuff you guys have done, you talked about. Are you amazed that you're able to bring this many guys into this kind of quality?
It's awesome. I think I'm glad to be here. I mean, who would not be want to be here? You know what I'm saying? Now it's just the time to click. You know, we got to get everybody on the same page and get everybody working. And, you know, a lot of guys have seen a lot of different defenses and offense and schemes and stuff. So, you know, it's we just got to get everybody on the same page.
A month ago when the lockout was still going on, would you have believed you could have had Nnamdi and Kellen Jenkins and all the guys you've added? You think you're almost dreaming, you know?
I wasn't expecting it. I was surprised. I ain't gonna lie. I was surprised. I was like, man, okay. This is great. You know, I was pretty happy, you know, and now I think the rest of my teammates were happy too.
So you talked about putting together and clicking. If you had all these guys come in March, you have a lot more time to get that done. Is there enough time between now and September 11th to do this?
I wish. I wish we had mini camp with these guys, you know, because, you know, we'd be already ahead of things, you know, coming here. But like I said, we got that lockout situation over with, you know, and now we're just fighting to, you know, we're to get everything, you know, what we didn't get the chance to do back in the mini camps, you know, get it done here, you know, make up for it.
You mentioned pressure. Is this different than other years because you've got all these guys? Because you always make the playoffs, they're always supposed to win, but is there like almost like a Super Bowl or bust kind of thing now here?
It's just a lot of pressure, you know. You hear all these things, they better go to Super Bowl, you know, they better do this. And like I said, it's not like that, you know. You might have a lot of great players, but everybody's got to click on the same page. You're going out there winning no games, you know, if everybody ain't on the same page. And when guys come from different schemes, and, you know, you got to get everybody on one page. And like I said, we haven't had – our time's been cut. You know, we haven't had mini camp and stuff in the spring and stuff. And, you know, and then we're trying to clam it in right now. So we're going – you know, the coaches are doing their best to get us coached and put us where we need to be. And I think they're doing a great job of that. And, you know, we're going to keep moving.
Trent, have you talked to Mike at all, reached out to him, or see how he's doing?
No, I have not, but, you know, I know he's okay, and that's all I can tell you.
Trent, you mentioned coaches. How does it happen, an O-line coach running your defense?
Hey, when it comes to Juan, if you really, like, know him and see him coach the O-line, you know, when a man that coaches offense has to know defense. And Juan is, like, he's very serious about his work. You know, very, very serious about it, where I couldn't tell you how serious. You know what I'm saying? Even if I could tell you, you would never know. You know what I'm saying? Because we're around it, we see it. You know, and coming over defense, I mean, he's the perfect guy for that, you know, for that position. So
you weren't skeptical when they announced this thing in January, going, oh, my God, the O-line coach is coming?
No, I was like, this is great. You know, I was like, that was a great move. I mean, it couldn't make no better move than that, you know.
All the moves you've made now, yeah. Nnamdi and all that, yeah. You said you were surprised by it. Do you think that the organization has changed its mentality a little bit to make all these moves versus other years? Maybe you're more conservative? Or you think maybe trading Donovan kind of changed everything in terms of we're taking chances now?
I don't know. You know, I don't know. You know, they do what they, you know, they, this is their team. You know, I'm here to, you know, to play ball. And, you know,
be a great player, and I mean, that's all I really can tell you. You know.
Thank you.
I know up at camp sometimes it can kind of turn into a grind every day, the same thing. But is tomorrow morning kind of be like Christmas morning with finally getting these guys out on the field with you and seeing, you know, what you got next
year? Yeah, you know, we've been having, you know, we've been, my guys have been, guys been going down, and you know, we're excited to have these new additions to come in and get in there and get the ball rolling. You know, like it's supposed to be. You know.
You think you might be the guy who maybe stands to benefit the most from those guys? I mean, you add more depth at cornerback, which means more time for you to get to the quarterback. You got guys across from you now, more pass rushers.
Yeah.
You might see fewer double teams.
Yeah, so it's going to be something to see. Just put it away. It's going to be something to see, and that's all I can say. I don't count my eggs before they hatch, you know. So.
All right, thanks, Jeff.
And our final look at practice here is Vince Young will get a chance to practice on Friday. Hey, Gerard Johnson changing his number. We don't know why. We'll get to the bottom of it, we promise. Make sure you, by the way, if you come to practice, print out the website roster. It's the most up-to-date. We do have a training camp guide, which we're proud to say we will distribute to everyone, free of charge, training camp program. But it is just so difficult to update this roster, which updates every single day. We want to thank you for joining us here on Training Camp Live on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We come back tomorrow, big day. All the veterans will be on the field. But it's been a great, great show. Nearly 3.5 hours worth of show today. We're exhausted. So thanks for joining us, everyone. I hope you enjoyed your look inside Eagles Training Camp presented by Sports Authority. And have yourselves a great Eagles Day.
Come on, slow starter.
Let's go, baby. Let's go.
We gonna get in shape here.
Blue engine, boom!
There you go.
Cadillac, halfback check.
Eagle. Got to run through that one. Got to have that one right now.
Come on, it's the ball, baby. Let's go.
There you go. Make a play.
Nice job, baby.
Blue 58.
Get up here.
Oh, no. That's why I put him up there. Yeah.